You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Hey, y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Welcome to the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. We can get raw up in here, so if you like sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, being brought to you by the Black Is Network. We are your gracious co-host, the Brothers Layman, Chris.
And Jonathan. What is happening?
Man, it's getting crazy. And we are now officially ready for the second round now.
Literally just officially. Mm-hmm. That game just ended.
Man.
What
some
an end.
Battles, game sevens, some sweeps, and we already ready.
And blowouts.
Mm-hmm. And of course, did you have a nice week off of diving into the NFL draft?
I had a great week off. This vacation was awesome, doing absolutely nothing. Man, I'm refreshed. I can go back to work now. Got a little promotion, so I'll be moving on up. I ain't at the east side. I ain't have a deluxe apartment in the sky yet, though. Take my time on that, but you know, just baby steps, moving on in the right direction. But
that's what's up.
You know, that draft, yes, I was glued. Mm. I watched it from literally the first round to the seventh, to the end of the seventh round. I watched the whole thing.
So he gonna be breaking it down, because I caught glimpses to listen on the radio. But some interesting things happening, videos taken, some hating.
Yeah, serious hating.
You know,
I might have to apologize to somebody.
Oh, snap. And you know how we do, 5 minutes with Grandpa.
Oh, yes,
noise,
sir.
Noise, what the fuck moment.
All that, then some.
There you go. So if y'all want to get at us, y'all want to talk some sports, any feedback, comments, whatever, you can reach out to us in a number of ways. You can do so via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, @brotherslayman. You can leave us a voicemail, 323-455-4219. You can always leave us feedback, 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. And you can hit us up on the show page at blackisonline.com.
Yeah, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns, anything y'all want to know, anything y'all want to dish out to us, good, bad, indifferent, it don't matter. We take all feedback, whatever it may tickle you, I guess. Hit us up and let us know how you feel. Holla!
All right. So we got one email we're going to get into
before
we hop on it.
All right.
This is from Carol Proctor.
All right. Oh, somebody new.
Yep.
Shout out, Carol. Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, she had something to say about the 5 minutes with Grandpa episode.
Oh, snap. I'm stirring up drama.
She said, you need to read about Harriet Tubman.
Uh-oh.
You know so much about sports, and I commend you for that. It was obvious you did not do your research on her. The worst thing is you told your audience to read up on her. One of Harriet's famous quotes was, I would have freed more if they knew they were slaves. You made her a point by not doing your research.
Mm.
So, I went back, I was like, okay, let me. So I hit her up, said, thank you for listening to the show and taking the time to send us some feedback. My brother and I are aware of Harriet Tubman and her contributions. I would agree that there is more we can learn about her.
Absolutely.
When telling the audience to read up on her, I would include us as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can never know enough about our history. But because we don't know her full life story doesn't mean we can't encourage people to read up on her. My brother was making the point that everyone should take the time to know what this woman is about.
That
specifically
includes
those who know nothing about her. Saying we're slaves because we don't know everything about her is a bit much. We're not naive to what is going on around us.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks again. So he responded, I care about you guys. I'm a regular. Did not say you were slaves. I said, you did not point out why she is deserving of being on the $20 bill because you didn't take the time to find out.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you did not prepare and give a brief, powerful summary of her unbelievable accomplishments proves her point of people's lack of knowledge of who they are. Mm. Her contribution to our freedom today is in part to why you have a podcast. Again, she would have freed more. She was the ultimate athlete. Take care and thanks for the response. I'm still a fan.
Oh, well, definitely. Hey, Carol, much appreciated, much love. You know, no hate, no animosity, any of that. I always welcome any opinion anybody has. Mm-hmm. Like I've always said, good, bad, indifferent, I don't care. I just, you know, we dialoguing. That's mm-hmm. what it's about. It's about making conversation. And, you know, to your point, I should have done more research, honestly. I kind of went off the top of the head there of kind of just the history that I kind of remember from Harriet Tubman. You know, I didn't do my full research, but as Chris pointed out, when I did make the statement of, you know, encouraging everybody to read up on them, that includes me. That includes myself. And I will be making it a point and an effort to do my research. I have not done it yet. I ain't going to lie. But I will make it a point to do my research on Harriet Tubman. You know, and when it comes to certain things and further things I speak of, you know, that I don't fully understand or fully don't know per se, you know, thank you for letting me know that. Maybe it opened my eyes. Maybe I should just do my research before I just open my mouth, because I may say something that, you know, may be contradictory to what that person actually stood for, what that person said. So, but you know, thank you for opening my eyes on certain points that I did miss.
I appreciate you sending in the email. You know, and for those who listen and want to comment or all that, I did see your name, and no, I didn't think that, oh, is this a white woman calling me? I didn't think that when I wrote back on her. I was just responding just because, you know.
When you read it to me, I didn't. Come across that way.
If my mama says something like, did I take it like I'm a slave, I might be like, wait a minute, mm-hmm. slow down. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, I appreciate it. I mean, yeah, I know she was a nurse in the war. That is the ultimate sacrifice. I mean, at that period of time, you get out. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to go back and try to free some of my folk multiple times, putting your life on the line
mm-hmm.
through all that, man. Shoot.
More power to it.
Yeah. Put it this way. 99.999% of us can't do that.
Nope.
Rarefied air. If you, you know, going through all that, surviving. Yeah. I would say you can call her the ultimate athlete.
Because she led so many from slavery, abolitionist William Lloyd Garrison named her Moses.
Yeah,
they deemed her. You know, so I would I'm gonna do my research, but I encourage everybody to do theirs as well. That's a powerful woman right there.
Yeah,
and without her, I wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here where we are.
I have no problem. Folk want to hold us to a higher standard.
Absolutely, we should be.
Mm-hmm.
As we should be.
And she's a fan, so we appreciate. That's why we say anything you want to say, and come and let us know.
And this is what I want. I want people to talk to us. I want all of your listeners. I want you guys to hit us up. Anything that we say that kind of just pokes at you a little bit, hit us up and speak on it. You mm-hmm. know what? Whatever you want to say, it doesn't matter. We will gladly take it and roll with it and speak back to you about it. And hey, that's what we want. Yeah. That's what we need as Black folks. That's what we need. We need to talk, not even just Black folks. This is people in general. Mm-hmm. We need to have an open dialogue and be able to talk to each other about, you know, whatever.
Any and everything, man.
Everything. So thank you, Carol. Much appreciated. And thank you for listening to the show. I definitely appreciate that.
No doubt.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's jump into this NBA playoffs. We are officially done with the first round.
Oh,
man. Some great game sevens.
See,
this is a funny thing that talking to K Martin about it last week, well, there should be best of five. It's hard when you have games like this in the Miami where you're like, it's tied up at four, and you're like, you know what? I don't mind seeing a game seven.
But
when you get games like, you know, like the Spurs joint or like the Golden State, yes, get that out the way. When that goes, you're like, I wish that was three games. God, that shit is more. I don't want to watch some more. But when it's testy like that, you're like, I'll take a couple more. I don't mind it being seven.
Yeah, but at the same time,
I mean, sometimes you're like, why did it take you two more than games?
It's hard just because I'm like, had it been a best of five series,
I mean, one of these teams would not be.
Charlotte would have won.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, it would have made it, to Kmart's point, like, the way game five ended with the 3-point shot and the quote unquote no foul on D Wade.
Yeah.
It makes for that excitement. You know what I'm saying? And it would have been a new team going, moving on. And I mean, it's just so much, you know, so much more. But now, you know, Miami did what they had to do. They handled their business. They kicked Charlotte's ass.
Yeah, they did. So, yeah, they finished them off. Man, game six, it was down, you know, 3-2. D-Wade game six was looking like the Flash.
Yeah, he was.
In the last 2 minutes, he was just like, I'm taking over.
He got that heat. That's the one thing I do love about D-Wade and why I've always respected D-Wade. He got that will to win, boy. He's just like, I don't care if I got to put the team on my back myself.
Yeah, because I was listening to the game on the way home, and it was just all of a sudden, they were just like, D-Wade making 2 threes. He ain't made a three since December of last year. I'm like, God damn. And coming up with blocks on both ends. I'm like, okay, D-Wade willing it to win, and then – come game seven, back in Miami. I mean, shit.
You got knocked the fuck out.
Kick your ass.
I mean, that's an understatement. They locked them down defensively. Mm-hmm. They didn't do anything.
I mean, you know, the main focus for Charlotte, if you playing Charlotte, yeah, stop Kemba Walker.
Well, they did that. Mission accomplished.
3 of 16. You know, 9 points, six assists, 3 turnovers. I mean, not much. Even, you know, Frank Kaminsky, 3 of 15. Like, he took 15 shots.
Yep.
Now Jefferson, I mean, it was just, I mean, nobody played with Jeremy Lin, 9 points, only 4 of 8. And Batum, he was coming off the bench, 10, 5, 6. I mean, this today was about Goran Dragic, 25 points on 11 to 17, 6 boards, 4 assists. And Hassan Whiteside playing like he wants some of that DeAndre Jordan money.
He getting maxed.
10 points, 12 boards, 5 on the offensive end, 5 blocks.
He getting that max Dizzo.
Yeah. Now the question is Miami giving him the max money?
Well, he's restricted.
He is? I don't think he is.
I thought he was restricted.
I think just because.
Oh, if he's unrestricted.
I think because of his. I don't think they have his bird rights because they didn't draft him.
No. Nah.
So I don't know.
Well, he played overseas.
Right. Sacramento. And he kind of like was just.
Sacramento drafted him and then he, yeah. And he's kind of flamed out. But if he's unrestricted, he's getting max dollars from somebody. You know who throwing max dollars at him? Houston.
Yep. You know who else might throw some max dollars at him? The Lakers.
Now, I can see Portland, too.
Yeah.
Team him up with D. Lillard and C.J. McCollum. Give you a defensive lockdown dude on the inside. He's getting max dollars.
Do I think he deserves max dollars?
No.
No. But he's... Because he played, because he's 6'11", can block shots and rebound, and change the game, he's getting max dollars.
If Tristan Thompson is getting damn near max dollars, I'm getting max dollars. I told you, once Tristan Thompson signed on that dotted line, that just screwed up the market for all bigs, because now it's like, oh, okay, based on what he's doing, and he's getting that, I'm doing twice as much as him.
DeAndre Jordan got max money.
I'm getting max.
Tristan Thompson got $90 million. I want $100.
Easy. And they're giving it to him because what are you going to argue? Cleveland, you're stupid for giving him that money.
Mm-hmm.
God, you screwed it up for us all.
I got to say, shout out to you, Storm. I know you was biting them nails like I'm kind of nervous.
He was on vacation sweating.
And you come back, your team handle business.
Oh, man, that's funny.
I mean, they got a nice – I mean, I know Baylor was talking about they had a dark horse. A lot of people had this team as a dark horse.
Who?
Miami as a team to get to the
finals?
Yeah.
I can see that, yeah.
But, I mean, contributions, Luol Deng has 15. Luol Deng has been great all series, too.
Yes.
Really played
He's
well.
He's been really good for Miami.
Mm-hmm. Dwayne had 12 and 6.
Gerald Green.
Yep, 7 to 16. You know, probably a lot of that was
this garbage time.
Because you're like, he had 16 shot attempts.
But when he get hot, he can get hot.
Mm-hmm. Richardson's played well from time to time. I mean, they just came out and handled business.
They came out and stomped them like they should have.
Yep. Shout out to Miami.
Shout out to Charlotte. They played hard. Hey, they tried.
Charlotte.
They pushed them.
Charlotte showed something. Mm-hmm. They
get a couple more pieces.
You know, what's name's been out all season. My man who got the three names.
Oh, Michael Kidd Gilchrist.
Yeah, he been out.
they need a good scoring option.
At the two.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was going to say, to pair with Kemba Walker, because he can't do it all himself. And he's small.
Yeah. And he has to be forced to where he's going to have to give it up. He can. You know, Jefferson is there to still do some things. I like Kaminsky. You know, he's a rookie, but, you know, he shows some signs. Mm-hmm. Batum is very solid. Yeah, if they can get a nice little scoring punch from the two.
Yeah. Because you got to get Kid Gilchrist for defensive purposes. Mm-hmm. You just need somebody to score.
Yeah. I mean, they can move up. I mean, hey, Jordan, you know, maybe had to meet
Jordan. Come on
the
down,
crying face today.
Jordan, come on down. We got a spot at the two.
But I like Charlotte's building something. They got. I like what Steve Clifford has done over there. You know, he's got a nice foundation. So, you know, I hope Charlotte can continue to get better for sure.
Yeah.
And their opponent, they did it. I wasn't screwed sure, but my, they did it.
Screwed up my day. You know what? From now on, I am crapping on Toronto, because it seems when I just shit on them, they just start producing. I said they weren't going to make the playoffs. They were the number two seed. I didn't pick them to win this series. They just won it, barely, but they did win it.
Yeah, it's just...
I guess Drake rubbed off that hotline bling, like I told him to.
Yeah, I mean, the guys came up big. DeRozan had 30 on 10 of 32 shots.
What was he from three?
1 of 5. So that's under, you know, that ain't 10. So if 1 of 5, man, he's not the bullshit. 9 of 9 from free throw. That's good.
That's good.
5 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. Doing on Kyle Lowry, 5 of 14.
Jesus.
He had 11. Christ. 9 assists, 4 boards. You know, a steal.
Valanciunas.
Mm-hmm. 10 points.
10 points, 15 rebounds.
Woo. You know, he's come up big for them. Patrick Patterson. 11 points. He's played well. DeMar Carroll didn't really do much. That's going to have to change.
Nope.
Powell definitely came up big. 13 points, 5 or 6 shooting off the bench.
Let me tell you something.
3 or 4 from 3. That's what you need. That's what you need.
I follow a lot of basketball. I ain't never heard of Norman Powell in my freaking life. But he just came in and dropped 13 big points for him.
Hey.
3 or 4 from 3s.
Yeah, if you're going to win a game 7...
We've always said you need these role players at times to just come out and step up. It may just be like 4 threes, whatever the case may be, but you need them to produce for you.
Yeah, look, and this all it is, you got to win.
And it looked like he taking Terrence Ross' spot, because Terrence Ross only got 5 minutes.
Yeah, he might have, you know, I don't know what that is. Maybe he heard or whatever, but maybe he came in and just sparked something. That's what, hey, and game 7, maybe you see something in practice. Let me give Powell some run, and he rewarded you.
And I got to say, man, Corey Joseph has been very impressive this season. I mean, for a dude who's really just – he's in a sense, just a role player.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been, like, really the stabilizing force for their bench.
Yeah.
Because he comes in, he runs the offense, and it always seems like he's doing something. He's putting up stats across the board.
Yeah.
He's grabbing boards, he's giving you assists, solid defense. He's efficient when he shoots the ball. I mean,
4 of 8 today.
So, I mean, that goes to show you he's not just a product of the Spurs system. I mean, Spurs draft good players.
I was sad to see him go. I mean, granted, hey, you got the money, you got the ring, go ahead and get that.
And he's from Toronto.
Yeah.
He's from Canada.
So. I don't blame him. So, yeah, he got a ring, and he's bringing that knowledge to the team, and they needed that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think really toward the last few, the end of the game, he was playing.
They normally have him in.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, yeah, for those reasons.
So he's solid. Indiana. You know, I saw they made a lot of, you know, mistakes at the end, kind of sloppy. Paul George.
You can't hammer that man. I don't care. He played 46 minutes, shot 8 of 18, 4 of 7 from 3, 26 points, 12 boards. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, he's going to look. The thing that's going to stand out for him
is that turnover at the end.
7 turnovers. He got 7.
And that big one at the end.
Yeah, with 1 assist. Ugh.
But shit, that's hard
for a person. Hey, look, he said if I've got to play 48 minutes, so be it. And he's doing it. Miles Turner struggled, 2-11. George Hill came up, was stepping up. He had 19 on 8 of 11, 3 or 4 from 3.
Monta Ellis wasn't bad.
7 of 14. Yeah, they came. You know, just home team won. Yeah, it's just, you know, late game execution kind of did them in. But, hey, I mean, game 6, they smacked the dog shit out of Toronto. Like, what?
It's a closeout line.
I thought they were gonna pull it out because I had no faith in Toronto. But you know, we'll see. Are they gonna beat Miami? I doubt it.
Okay, so let's see.
They get that hotline bling again. They ain't beating Miami.
Now they got home court, which is good for them. But yeah, it's
so we got Drake versus Flo Rida. Who you got?
We got
Drake versus DJ Khaled. Mm-hmm. We the best.
OVO versus Maybach Music.
I'm just saying.
Celebrity is gonna be all at the game now.
Where Rick Ross? Is he in jail?
I don't know. I was gonna say, you gonna have Lil Wayne and Drake talking shit, but I was like, wait a minute, didn't he get kicked out of Miami? Is he allowed to be in the stadium?
And maybe Baby will be there. Put some respect on my name, nigga. That shit
get them
is
respect
gonna be,
t-shirts.
It's gonna be played out. But God, man,
this series, I am leaning to Miami because I'm like, all right,
I'm going with Storm's team.
Yeah,
just based off Miami's deeper and better. Miami's just better.
Yeah,
that's just what it is. Miami's better.
Looking right now. Funny thing is, I think
I give advantage backcourt to Miami.
Oof.
Between Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan on that A game, I'm taking D Wade and
Gordon
Dragic. I'm taking D Wade.
See,
Gordon.
I think
especially seeing the way these fools played in this series
on the regular. If you just taking it,
come on, man.
If you just looking at them, just period. Toronto's backcourt is better, but when you're talking about based off of the first round.
And I'm talking about experience, everything, dude.
Yo, D-Wade going to make DeRozan work.
That's what I'm saying.
So this Lowry. See, Lowry can best Dragic.
He can.
Dragic
can bring it too.
He's played boo-boo first series.
Except for this past game.
Yeah, they going to shoot that bad.
Well, plus, you got Joe Johnson. Mm-hmm. Dan can score. Yeah. I mean, they just got now more. More scorers. Yeah. What,
if Toronto is going to win this series,
and they don't have a Hassan Whiteside on Toronto, like who's like a serious shot blocking threat? Valanciunas is big, but he's not a shot blocking threat like that.
Is better offensively.
Exactly.
Like you're not really going to Whiteside for offense. Valanciunas, he's got to continue what he's been doing. If he gives you that, that's fine. Damari Carroll, hey. Where you at?
Yeah, you
got to
show up.
You got to be, especially with Joe Johnson and Dang, you have got to somehow offset that. And one of them, you're going to have to make.
He's going to have to guard D Wade, I think. I prefer him to guard D Wade over.
He has to.
Well, D Wade's older, too, so he's not as fast. Yeah. I would prefer to have Carroll guard him over DeMar DeRozan.
But yeah, I would say the Carroll. Valanciunas, they have to win the battle versus the Dang Whiteside if they're going to happen to win this series. Bench, Raptors got a deep bench, but Richardson, you got over there. Richardson, you got on the rookie.
You got Justin Winslow.
Yep.
So you got Josh McRoberts. You got Gerald Green.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have the Haslam's still there.
Yeah, Haslam's getting minutes.
You still got a Murray.
Yeah, so you're going to need a lot. Like, Toronto has to play better. And Miami has to play better, too.
Yes. Well, Miami didn't play their best ball,
No.
Clearly didn't play their best ball.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's going to be exciting.
I think Miami. We both got Miami in six.
I got I think I got Miami in seven. I think they're going to hit the roll.
I'm going to roll with Maybach Music.
All right.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go on to this other series where Atlanta handled business.
Yeah.
Got them to close it out in six. Atlanta is somewhat better than they were last year. I think a little more experience. Got some guys that they can lean on more. I don't know if they beating I don't see them beating Cleveland.
They losing in five.
Oh, wow.
This series going to be over. But the simple fact, they don't have that go-to scorer. And with Cleveland, you got three of them, seriously, that you can use as go-to guys. And we all know Coach GM LeBron, he on a mission.
Yeah.
And it no offense to Atlanta, man. Atlanta plays hard, but Atlanta ain't beating Cleveland. They're just not.
No, they just
call it what it is.
They just need things to go right.
Yeah. They would need everything to go in their favor.
Right. You basically need one. You'd have to have LeBron James struggle. LeBron James run it. LeBron James is the point guard on that team. Let's just be every offense runs through LeBron James.
Correct.
Let Kyrie Irving do what he does best, which is score.
Yep.
Not play, make, score.
And then Kevin Love, you rebound and shoot your threes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now that big man matchup is going to be nice.
Oh, with Horford and with Millsap and
Thompson. And then you got Horford and Love. You know they're going to need
guarding LeBron.
Kent Bazemore and from what I heard, it goes in this order. Kent Bazemore is going to get majority of the work. Thabo is basically.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot they got Seth.
It's 1A, and then I think at times you probably put Millsap on him. Every now and then.
So is Korver coming off the bench?
No.
And Korver is guarding Iman Shumpert or J.R. Smith?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know.
I guess they offset.
Jeff Teague, bring your A game. I don't expect him to match Kyrie Irving scoring wise, but if Irving gonna be going, because he's gonna have a game where he go for like 30 some points,
yeah,
probably a couple.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make Kyrie Irving work.
Yeah,
you got to.
Yeah,
he can't. Yeah, Def T can't. Look, guys are gonna have. I don't expect the star players to play great every goddamn game. I know they're gonna struggle at times,
mm-hmm.
but Jeff T, he can't have a whole lot of those. He's got to bring it for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say Cleveland in 6.
Yeah, I got Cleveland in 5. I just think they're going to get this shit over with. Personally.
It just, you know, I'm glad.
It just feels that way.
Yeah, I'm glad at least now that they're playing Cleveland again, that pretty, for the most part, as far as I know, they're healthy.
Yes.
It's not like, oh, well, DeMar Carroll got hurt. Oh, Paul Millsap have been battling. Now you got a healthy squad for
sure. Exactly.
Look, Atlanta, I hope they jumping.
Yeah.
Once again, going to be a hot ticket in Atlanta. I'm sure everybody, their mama, going to go see LeBron James. Well, I'm assuming this the new Phillips Arena crowd, not the one from like a couple years ago. It was like nobody in the motherfucker.
Sorry, my A-Town folks, but
yeah. Y'all showing up wearing that highlighter yellow. That highlighter is terrible, man. When they changed it, because I was like, what? And I'm like, what? Yeah, I was like, that's highlighter yellow. Okay. Hey. I mean, y'all made it look all right, but then highlighter yellow.
That's
all right.
Funny.
Do that then. But yeah, it looks like it's going to be Miami. And
it's bound to be. It's destined.
Yeah.
It's LeBron versus his old team.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
All right. I'm saving it because I want to really go off on these fools. I just want to say game one. Let me see.
Spirit, this is just for you. This ain't me. This is Chris. This ain't me.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Nigga, what? What? Hey, I like straight up, all that means to me is we only have 3 more games to win. That's all that means. Put the smacketh down. I mean, look, straight up. Spurs told you all to come out, set the tone for what the series is going to be like. They came out and did their part.
Oh, man.
You know, Oklahoma City, mulligan. That's all. What you just say?
And you got to love Greg Popovich because he basically was like, this could be one of those scenarios where we were just hot and they just had a bad game. It happens.
Yeah.
And just left it at that. Yeah,
Billy Donovan, you just look at the stats, you just like, okay. What we gonna say? We lost. That we got our ass. You know,
that's
you,
basically what Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook did too. Like, we're moving on to the next game. Yeah. Like, we don't even want to talk about this game anymore.
I mean, they'll pick out certain things that are like, look, you can't do this. You can't do this.
Their pick and roll defense was horrible.
I mean, on the first play,
my God, I have.
The first play.
Kawhi Leonard freaking smacked. I thought he was about to hurt himself.
Yeah, and he looked and fell out like, oh, shit.
I was like, good Lord. But yeah, it was the LaMarcus Aldridge pick and roll show all fucking day. I mean, it got to a point. I'm sitting here, hand on cheek, just watching this, and I'm just literally sitting here like, okay, he's screening. Okay, he's rolling. He's pat. Okay, he's wide open. Okay.
Yep.
It was continuous. And they did it every fucking play. And you're just like,
Roll. What are y'all, switch to the?
Yeah, do something.
I mean, my God, it was like every time they did a pick and roll play, wide open shot, wide open layup. What it was like, y'all are horrible defensively. I mean, it's reminiscent of when they used to talk about the Lakers being just,
I mean,
terrible.
The first
at
half
pick
said
and roll
it all.
Defense.
It was, they put up 73 in the first half. With I want to say like,
what did I say?
Six blocks?
I said if they drop 80 in this first half, that game is it's a wrap.
That's
son.
I mean, give them 40. Wrap, you give them 43 points to the Spurs in a quarter. That's way too damn much.
And it's the Spurs. They're not known for blowing cats out scoring wise.
Every now and then they had them. I'm a hot game, but they don't stay
but
hot.
But they couldn't miss.
Yeah, everybody on the team got a point. Like damn.
And Oklahoma City couldn't hit anything.
Nope.
They were just getting locked down, man. Defensively, it was just.
Hey, we asked last week who was Kawhi Leonard going to guard. He was like, he guarding Westbrook.
I told you. That's why I asked the question because I'm like, it makes sense for him to guard Durant for his length and everything, but if you really want to slow down like the key cog that makes it go. You put him on Westbrook. Yeah. Because let's be honest, I mean, Danny Green is what, like 6'7"?
Yeah. I mean, look,
and he's got length,
yeah,
so he can.
He's
he can
a solid
bother.
Defender.
So, I mean, you could switch him up, and it was brilliant.
I mean, that was a nice, like.
And I don't think OKC was. I don't think OKC was expecting that.
No.
Because I don't think they did that throughout the regular season.
I don't think they did either. That's why it popped one of like,
the. I'm not showing my hand.
Nope.
And they come out first like, game, boom, you on Westbrook. Like, God damn it. And I know, and psychologically, that can mess with Westbrook because you're like.
Yeah, because everybody
was like. I
got
the defensive player of the year on me, for real. Because I'm sure he was expecting to be guarded by probably, you know, Danny Green. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I can blow by Danny Green. But now you got this fool who got long arms, long reach, is known for defense. Yeah. Like, God damn
basically,
now I got to work. Now I got to work.
Because now you just can't overshoot over him. And if you blow by him, I mean, you got another guy behind you. I mean, he shot 5-19, 14 points, 9 assists.
It was just
2 turnovers.
It was really something to see just watching the Spurs play.
They couldn't. I mean, basically, it was like we hitting everything.
On both sides
they
of the
ain't
floor.
Hitting nothing.
On both sides of the floor. Spurs were just locking them down defensively. They wouldn't get nothing. Danny Green was throwing up rainbows.
Danny
and they
Green
were
was like 4 or 5. I was like, Danny Green about to wake up in this series? Let's go.
And then just the icing on the cake, and Charles Barkley talked about it at halftime. They fouled like 6 dudes when they shot threes. It was getting to a point like, I have never seen that happen that many times, let alone in a game. I ain't seen a team do that many times in a season.
No, I've seen it happen something like that. I think that was last year.
That where, many times?
But not like that many times.
In a half?
In a half, though. I've seen it happen 4 times in a game. And you're just like, what the hell? But in a half?
It happened like 6 times. You're just like.
You laid on the rotation and then you leaping out. It I was, mean, yeah, and all it adds up to is just a win. That's
yeah,
it.
I know they were just like, we ain't even talking about it.
No, and as for the Spurs, you're like, yeah, I'm like, look, I still remember we were up 2-0 on Oklahoma City and lost.
And Danny Green said that when they interviewed him after the game. He was like, we just look at this as just one game down. He was like, we remember when we were up 2-0.
Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook.
He was like, and we lost.
Yeah.
He was like, so this is just one game down. It was your typical, you know, execute.
Yeah.
Give 100%. All of them said the same thing.
Knew we wanted to have some fun, you know, execute. Play one quarter at a time. Give 100%.
That is basically, in a sense, when you just break it down, that's what Danny Green said. That is basically what he said. We know we've lost when we've been up 2-0. We need to execute, and we were executing, and you know,
yeah, look,
we won.
Look, they play like crap, and we got to win. Okay, game 2, I'm expecting it's going to be.
You're
nuts.
Expecting their best.
Yeah, they're going to come out swinging like a mug, and they got to be ready and not assume it's going to be game 1.
Spirit, my boy, come on, Spirit, you need to sprinkle some of that goodness onto your team, man. Like that E-40, sprinkle me, man.
You may have to send whatever, well, now I ain't going to say whatever Storm was doing with her team. But
hey.
You may need to send some vibes
You need to hit up Russell Westbrook and tell him to dress normal. Maybe that'll help their good fortune.
That was an interesting jean shirt. We talking to Daryl on Twitter. Yeah, what's going on, man? I was like, if he wear a dress in the next few years, I'd be like, oh, okay, well, he going there now. I would not be shocked.
I wouldn't either.
We already seen D-Way where it's like, man, them pants looking in kind of high on on that leg, man.
What was I watching? Looking like, and they said, I forgot what I saw, but they were like, looking like a fool does not equal good fashion. Exactly. Like Cam Newton wearing them damn loafers with no socks. Like that shit is, that's ignorant.
No, nah, it's a particular style. No, because Wade does it too.
Oh, it's terrible. With no socks?
Showing your ankles off and
them,
stuff?
You better lotion up them bitches and make sure they ain't ashy. That's all I got to say.
See, this series is going to be, it's going to be a dog fight.
Absolutely.
And then I'm expecting more than likely probably game three. If we can hold on and make sure we win game two, mm-hmm. game three, we'll probably get our ass blown out. One of them games. We gonna get smacked.
There you go, folks. Chris has already said he expects the Spurs to be blown out
and win one game just in like Oklahoma City. Maybe not as bad, but it's gonna be bad.
They gonna lose by 20.
Yeah, we still gonna win this series. Let's go. And then moving on to the other. Hey, Blazers handle business. You know they were like, look, let's just get these Clippers out of here.
We called it. Told y'all. As soon as we said Chris Paul got hurt, it was like. I don't know if they're going to win this series now.
Yeah. What we didn't mention was that right in the game that Blake had left for what was like he reaggravated like his quad.
Yeah.
And now I have food done for the playoffs.
Had I read that too, yeah, I really would have been like, oh yeah, Portland's winning. No doubt Portland winning. Yeah. Portland handled their business and got it.
They did. It was Clipper fans one after the other. They just like,
but like I said on the last show, it ain't y'all fault, man. That's the injury bug. You can't blame them for that. I mean, nah, Austin Rivers, come on, man. I mean, let's be real.
Yo, props to Austin Rivers, man. He took a blow. He took a blow to the face.
Yeah.
And I guess I said if he had gotten stitched, he wouldn't have been able to play. He just gutted it out. And I think still gave him 20 points.
I mean, shout out to Austin Rivers. Look.
Jamal Crawford played well. They fought.
They did.
And Doc, this is going to be tough for him because the dude asked him, you know, about his GM hat, basically. And he's like, basically, I'm always in GM mode. And he was like, I'm always evaluating all the time. Mm. This is going to be hard because they played hard, mm-hmm. just like Dallas, mm-hmm. just like Memphis, mm-hmm. just like you can even say Charlotte. They came to play. Mm-hmm. They could have been like, oh, you know what? Fuck it. It's over with. Mm-hmm. But they came back and they fought and made Portland earn it. It's hard to want to break that up.
Yeah.
To feel like, well, this team ain't there because you just like, damn it, I don't have – can I get a full year to fully evaluate my team?
You know what it feels like?
What's that?
The fucking Bulls. It's just, you're always hurt. Yeah. It's just somebody always hurt. You never get an opportunity to just have a full – season where you just like, we just healthy all season. Yeah,
that was that first one with Tom Thibodeau. Just when you get your hopes up, like, ooh, we can, you know, we got the Eastern Conference Final. Maybe we can do some. Oh, now niggas getting hurt.
Derrick Rose hurt. Oh, great. Great.
And look, our name banged.
Oh, great. Jack Kim Noah hurt. Taj Gibson hurt. Like, oh my God, man. You're just like, I get it, man. That's why I sympathize with the Clipper fans because I'm like, you can't, it's not their fault. Mm-hmm. I mean, they tried. But without your two horses, I mean, you can only do so much. Mm-hmm. And Austin Rivers, let's be real. He was a lottery pick, but Austin Rivers is not all that great.
No, he's not. When he hasn't played like the top 10 pick he was.
Not in the slightest.
But he's at least shown
serviceable.
He can be a contributor off the bench. He's a good role player off the bench.
Yes, he's a good role player off the bench.
Now, you know, maybe in another 5 years he does something. I don't know.
But I hear people who try to put him up here. And I'm like, well, hold on.
No.
He ain't up there. Look, relax.
Like, yeah, like how everybody joked on him. Like, I think he's earned some respect.
Yes. After games.
Because who was that? Was that Spirit who was like, somebody was like, if that was LeBron James, he wouldn't have played. He's like, oh, you know what? I can't play. A lot of guys would not play like that.
Yeah, would just bleeding like yeah. that. Yeah,
you know, he's,
props to you, bro.
Yeah, and everybody talking about his dad. Clearly, he and his dad don't have that kind of relationship, and it is almost more like player coach than
father son.
Yeah, because he was gone. You know, you live that life where your pops is on the road all the damn time. It's hard to build that kind of relationship.
Yep.
I don't know how folks who went to WWE, who were wrestlers, do that because they working like 300 days out the year.
Yeah.
On the road. Shit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, Clippers, I don't know. I don't know. Feels like that something's going to have to happen.
I'm going to treat it like my Bulls. Give it one more year. Give it one more year. Just one more year.
Yeah, because I think they have next year, I think their last year on the contract. At least Blake and
just give it one.
CP3.
Just give it one.
Yeah, you may want to try again.
Just one more.
Yeah.
If things aren't starting off hot, you know, you could look to maybe flip one of them towards a trade deadline.
Yeah, as far as, you know, with Blake hurt, I don't know if I'm Oklahoma City. I'm not trading.
No, you got to give me something else along with Blake.
Yeah.
Now it's injury prone.
Yeah.
Now he got that injury tag, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Coming off a major one.
Well, he had a major one his rookie year, too.
Yeah. But this one, you're like, okay, he hurt his quad. He came back. But it's like, oh, now he re-aggravated and he done for the season.
And he hurt his hand, too.
Yeah, I got questions.
It's just too many injuries, brother.
Yeah.
Shout out to all the teams who played hard. Mm-hmm. And what the fuck to the one who just threw in the towel. I can't stand.
Man, yeah, they Houston. Handle business. Houston. Jason Terry went out and was like, we guaranteeing to win game five. It was like, you know, let me hold on. This is what that one felt like.
Hey, Keith, let me see your shoe.
What?
Let me see your shoe. Why? Because I have never seen anybody put their foot that far up a guy's ass. Yeah, I guess I did.
Oh, man, you cut him an ass the length of the Lincoln Tunnel. We're going to need a traffic cop on that shit.
What the hell, man?
It was embarrassing. It was absolutely embarrassing. Those Rocket players should be ashamed of themselves.
This effort was terrible, man.
And the sad thing is the city knew it. Because remember, mm-hmm. they said 100% they ain't winning this series. They knew. The city knew the effort wasn't going to be there.
I mean,
my this, God. See, this, 114-81 in your last game? That's how you go out? Get out of here.
This
is why we needed back to five.
I mean, this is why we said, you know, James Harden, after they got the lead and then blew it, and then he makes the bucket and guys ain't happy. What I read one place, and I, you know, didn't need to see it. I missed the game. But what somebody basically said was they were like, oh, James Harden, you want to do all the shooting? Fine. Do all the shooting. And just like, go ahead and shoot that nigga. Like, damn. I mean, it was no effort whatsoever on this team. I mean, this team, that's it. We always talk about should the Clippers blow this up? Blow this crap up.
Yeah, like you, I guess you keep James Harden and build around him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to have to work. I mean, he's going to have to change some things about himself, too. Because, again, he's starting to get that, I don't want to call it a Kobe tag. But you're starting to get that reputation of dude, nobody's going to want to play with you.
Mm-mm.
Because you're a ball hog. I mean, granted, he gets his assists. But if you're taking half the damn shots, I mean.
Yeah, like he's.
It's similar to what I said with OKC. Where you can't sit here and expect your teammates to play extra hard defense for you when just two of y'all are getting all the shots. That ain't how this shit works. So if James Harden, if you're taking all the shots, yeah, nigga, go ahead and take all the shots. I'm just not going to play 100%.
No.
I'm not going to put full effort in.
And it sounds like it's just been bad from jump.
And he don't play defense. And like the point out cats too, when somebody blow right by him. Like what? You have the audacity to point at me when you just fell asleep and let your player run right by you for a layup? The fuck out of my face. I'm surprised nobody has bitch slapped James Harden by now on that team.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody wanted to. I think Jason Terry said it because I had looked And I was like, oh, he not under contract next season. So he be in that, like, we going to win. And, you know, that's how he does and talk. And he just like, you know what? I just said that. I didn't really think we would.
Oh, that's what he said?
No, he didn't say that. He just said he guaranteed, I guess before the game, he was guaranteed.
I was about to say, he came out and was like, oh, I didn't really think we was going to win. But I just,
you know, he's got that bravado. He's going to say that.
I heard he's going to be a coach next year for college basketball.
Oh, okay.
That's what I've heard.
I mean, I'm looking at this shit. I mean, Monte Eunice wish that damn trade went through.
I don't know, man, like, shit. Damn it. Why couldn't I be healthy?
Mm-hmm. Trevor Reza, he going to want to leave. He's one fade. D. Howard gone.
Howard's gone.
Don't deserve no max money, but
somebody going to give it to him.
Yeah, funny thing, I don't. There may not be a team who does. They may just be like, we giving you under the max. Yeah. Take that.
Yeah.
Yeah, James Harden, 35.
Patrick Beverly.
7 turnovers, nigga. I like the Pat Beverly, James Harden backcourt. It's everything else that need to be fixed. At least Pat Beverly play hard.
I mean, Michael Beasley's
Carl that was Scott, a nice pickup. Nice
little mm-hmm. niche for himself, but
Josh Smith ain't coming back.
They got to rebuild this bench.
Yeah, and the guys just something's got to give. You have to get the right coach. Something in there is y'all got to do something in there.
Something. Because it's clear, like, again, James Harden's getting that rap. I want to play with James Harden.
Nope.
He a ball hog.
Yeah, I got something else for them in my awards, but oh, God damn. Lord.
What the fuck are we doing out here? I ask you, what in the fuck are we doing here? Hell, I don't know.
That's bad. I want to say them for last. I'm like, no damn effort. Everybody. Man, even the Clippers had every right to be like, you know what? Fuck it.
We can throw in the towel.
Yo ass, Steph Curry got hurt. And every other team would be like, oh, shit.
We got a chance. Yep, we got a chance. What y'all do?
Nothing.
Let's Klay Thompson go, what, 10 of 14, 7-11 from 3 for 27 points. Good defense, James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
In 29 minutes.
Sean Livingston went for 16. Draymond Green, 10-9-8. Man, God damn y'all, man. Why did you take Utah's spot?
Seriously.
Y'all should have just
Utah would have tried.
Utah probably would have been in better damn matchup.
Yep.
And then not having no step, you might be like, oh, shit, okay.
We might have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Damn, and the Clippers was like, we got a chance. Nope.
No, you do not.
Damn. So, yeah, now we got that great backcourt matchup. Didn't help game one today.
And a Norse award to me because I called it. I told you. I said the one concern I had with Portland was the backcourt size.
Yeah.
They're small.
They are.
And that's the problem. And with a dude like Klay Thompson, who's 6'7", and who's going to, you know, who got the clear advantage over C.J. McCollum. Mm-hmm. There's only so much you can do. I mean, there really is only so much you can do.
I mean, look. Let's honestly, nobody was predicting Portland to even get to this point. No,
nobody predicted Portland was going to make the playoffs.
Nope. And now they here. I mean,
kudos to them.
Yeah, we both.
I love Damian Lillard, my dude.
Okay. So how many games you think is going?
6.
Okay.
I think Portland's gonna push them a little bit. I mean, look, it was the first game.
The first game at home.
At home,
Golden State, just against, like Spurs.
And let's be real, against like your upstate rival.
Mm-hmm. I mean, did the same thing Spurs did. We set the tone early.
Now it wasn't as bad as the Spurs.
Well, no, it wasn't as.
But
you know, the score kind of. I guess the they score came back.
It doesn't reflect the actual game. It was a lot more this lopsided
game,
than that.
This game was all about Draymond Green.
Yeah,
23 points, 13 boards, 11 assists, 3 blocks.
He was locking down defensively.
I
got to give it to him.
He's really trying to make the argument. And I saw somebody mention on Twitter, and I was like, well, I may have to think about it. Is he in the discussion for best power forward in the game?
Is he in the discussion? Yes, I would say so. Considering what he does,
yeah, and
on both sides of the ball,
right. Now I do agree. Now we could it does come off like that spur argument with
is he a product of the system?
The system. I was like, the system just I think helps.
Assisting helps enhance what he can does. Do.
Yeah.
But
right, do I think he put these numbers up on a boo boo team?
Maybe.
but his impact on this team
it can't be denied. I mean, it's look, the heart of that team. I've always assumed Draymond Green was, you know, an overachiever and, mm-hmm. you know, was just a more of just kind of an energy guy, but he's got a lot more skill than I gave him credit for. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been putting up triple doubles all freaking season. Put up another one tonight. His defense was crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, he was switching on to Damian Lillard and stuff, and you're like, damn. And he's keeping up with him, and you're like, god damn.
I heard they put him on Plumlee specifically, so when they switch, you know, do the pick and roll, he can just switch off and guard Lillard.
And it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. So, I mean, you know, kudos to him. I mean, what are you going to say? I mean, and the fact – and the Steph Curry being hurt isn't – I'm not calling it a good thing, but it could be a blessing in disguise. Because now you got a backcourt of what? How tall is Sean Livingston? Like 6'7"?
Something like
you
that.
You got a 6'7 and 6'7 basically, yeah. Against 6'3 and 6'4. That's not fair. And then you got Harrison Barnes, who's like 6'8". Draymond Green, like 6'9". Mm-hmm. They're just long.
That sick little dry down a hole, but wrap around the basket underneath. It's like, okay.
For all the talk about small ball, they bigger than Portland.
Yeah.
They're just bigger than Portland.
And longer.
Yeah, I mean, and Portland, you know, I wish them, I hope they do well. Look, I'm pulling for my boy D. Lillard, but I'll give them six. That's it.
Yeah. I would say
only,
six. I do
only
think
because Steph
five.
Curry ain't playing.
Yeah, and this Foley talking about can Steph Curry be back for game three.
And I must, and this has to be said, Klay Thompson's going out of his fucking mind, man. I can't do it.
Look, I mean, I can't. Look, we wondered last season. We talked about it with Hoopla. Like, Steph was killing, and we were like, we know Klay got the game. He didn't have to do as much.
Spirit, what you think now, bro? What do you think now? Because he's balling.
Klay Thompson, 37.
He's carrying the load, bro. He's dropping almost 40.
14-3, goddamn.
And he hit half of them.
Yep.
So you can't argue.
I mean, look, Draymond, Barnes, Bogut all had over 12 rebounds. God damn.
They're just bigger.
Yeah, they came
They're
to
just
play.
Bigger.
Look, Al-Farouq Aminu has played well this postseason.
Yes,
they're going to need
has.
More of him. Harkness, 4-12. They're going to need more of that if they're going to beat the Warriors. Look, D-Lillard, okay. They had a bad game. They are going to be the focus of that defense.
Of course.
So it's going to be tough. It's going
to
be really hard.
Yeah, it's
going
to be hard. But they've shown they can win.
Mm-hmm. So I want to see game two what Stotts has in mind to, you know, get his guys some easy shots.
Exactly.
To make some things happen.
Absolutely.
But that's going to be – it's going to be good, man.
Yes,
These
it
playoffs
is.
Have been popping. And at least we got some interesting news. You know, shout out to Steve Kerr, winning Coach of the Year. I know Spirit is like, I ain't get out with that bullshit.
Same here, Spirit. I'm with you 1,000%. That's nonsense. I cannot give Coach of the Year to somebody who coached 39 games. Get out of my face.
It's the records, man. It's just what they put up.
I don't care. He wasn't – let me take that back. I guess he was there like
half.
During the home games, and he talked to them and blah, 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 blah.
But he coached
he
half.
He ain't on the court during the game. He didn't even coach half. Half would have been 41. He coached 39. That's less than half. That is no.
Can they give it? Can they do a co? If they gave Luke now, see
the fact that
see now,
and it pisses me off that Luke Walton even got a vote. What the fuck? What really? We're just gonna throw him on the ballot. I think he was like ninth. How the hell is Steve Kerr winning? He coached less than half the games. Freaking
the same reason.
Luke Walton, the one who got him off to that incredible start, and he gets no credit. He gets ninth. He gets ninth place.
See, Kerr wasn't a mind because you saw when he got awarded the trophy, he basically had him and he basically treating it like we the coach of the year.
Well, even in the beginning of the season, he said it was dumb that he didn't get credit for the records.
Yeah.
So I mean, I give Steve Kerr credit for encouraging that he should be. You know, at least given some kind of credit and be recognized for what he did. But the fact that he won Coach of the Year is dumb to me. I get the record, but in all honesty, you know who should have won? Terry fucking Stotts. That's who should have won Coach of the Year. Because
everybody knew Golden State was going to be great this year. We knew they were going to be good. We didn't think they'd be 73 games good, of course. We didn't think they'd do that. But we knew they were going to be a damn good team. We didn't think Portland was going to make the playoffs. We thought they'd be lottery bound again. They lost four starters.
Yeah, but it's always like, do you give the award to a coach who takes a bad team and makes it good, or takes a good team and makes it
good? Portland was a good team who stayed a good team even when they lost, four-fifths of their team, or their starting five. That's a testament to how good of a coach Terry Stotts is.
This is the same NBA.
And they brought in guys who were quote-unquote role players.
Yeah.
Miles Plumlee, freaking Alfred Aminu, Ed Davis. These are role players. Replacing starters. Nicholas Batum, LaMarcus Aldridge, Robin Lopez. And he, second place. He should have won over a coach who coached less than half. It'd have been different if it was like Steve Kerr and Luke Walton, co-coaches of the year. Fine. But the fact that you gave it to the dude who didn't even coach half the games,
because the games count. This is the same NBA who, after David Black got fired, Tyronn Lue got the coach. And you're like, but Tyronn Lue ain't coached but like a game for the All-Star break. His
record after he took over ain't even that good.
No, but his team, they going by the team record. Gonna say had a historic season, most road wins ever, all that,
so much
and that's
credit.
Why they—that's why he got it.
But he was,
and they were not gonna give it to.
But he wasn't there.
But wait, he was. They weren't giving it to Pop, who was third. They're gonna be like,
of course not. They're never gonna give it to Greg Popovich because he throws his middle finger up to the league half the time anyway.
Yeah. Now, so funny thing is, now they had the best record in the league. And people would be like,
it would have gone to Terry Stotts.
He's been like, that's fine. And Spurs fans have been like, that's all some bullshit.
I swear to God. If it was flipped around and the Spurs had won 73 games,
because who won?
I guarantee you they would have gave it to Terry Stotts.
Because who won Coach of the Year last year? Did Steve Kerr win it last year?
I want to say, yeah.
Or did, I don't
know. Was it Steve Kerr? See, now you got me having to look it up.
I was thinking so. I was like,
I kid you not. I swear to God, if the Spurs had won 73 games, they would get to Terry Stotts.
If they had won 73 games, then it would be just like this. They'd have to give it to them. But if they had their record, 67 wins, dominating.
Oh, Mike Budenholzer won last year.
Yes. Okay, Now, if Steve Kerr had won it last year, Terry Stotts might have got it.
See, I don't like that, though.
Yeah, that's playing politics.
See, I'm telling you, if Spurs had got 73 wins, NBA would have not given it to Pop for the simple fact because he throws his middle finger up to the league all the time.
So what you saying
his nose
is,
at the league all the time.
So what you're saying is Steve Kerr in the record book should have an asterisk.
Hell yes. Hells to the motherfucking yes, he should have an asterisk. Because he wasn't there for... In the record books, if it says coach of the year, there should be an asterisk there that specifies Luke Walton coached 43 of these games. Seriously, because that's bullshit.
This is some bullshit.
Straight up, because I'm telling you right now, if that was me in that position, I'm Luke Walton, I'd have been like, I got to get some recognition.
But hey, you know, Luke Walton. What do you get for your great season? You get to coach the Lakers.
And he made it clear we are not running the triangle.
Oh, he did?
Yep, he already came out and said, we ain't running no triangle, so don't even ask me.
Thank you.
Get that
Yes.
Shit. He was like, it's going to be free-flowing. He's going to fit an offense that fits his personnel.
See, there you go.
That's what a damn coach is supposed to do.
See, he's got it.
Now I have my questions, of course, only because you know he is new at this, not necessarily at coaching specifically, but as being a head coach.
He's been with Golden State a couple of years. Yeah. I think he was with Cleveland.
I think so.
Before that,
because that's where he got. I think he got traded to Cleveland.
Yeah, he did get traded to Cleveland,
and then
transferred
over to coaching at that point.
You know, he's been under Phil Jackson. Mm-hmm. You know, coming out of Arizona, the guy had a high basketball IQ.
And I mean, his dad is Will Walton. I mean,
you know, look, Pop's got to be. I mean, you can't
I mean,
if I'm in Sweden, yeah, I'd be like, dude, you grew up in L.A., played for Arizona, you got drafted by the Lakers.
Your dad is a UCLA legend.
Yeah, and then you get to play, you get to coach the Lakers. Like, yeah, I'm.
And you kind of felt he would be kind of that role, even watching him with the Lakers. Mm-hmm. You kind of had that feeling like he seems like the kind who would be like a coach type player.
Yeah, now, I know there's. I don't know where he ranked because there was Mark Jackson out there who I think should be coaching the Knicks. Well, I've been saying it. The coach from this one assistant from the Spurs. There's also an assistant on Boston, I hear, is really good.
What I want to know is if the Lakers did their due diligence before hiring Luke Walton, or was it just like, oh, we like Luke, we have a relationship with him, we have a great rapport, let's just hire him. Did you hire him because you have a great relationship with him and you really like him? Or did you hire him because he is the best person for the job? That's the question.
Okay. I will say this. He's a young coach who can identify with the young players.
Yes. He's coming from a winning organization.
Yes. He has Laker ties.
Yes.
And Laker championship ties, yes, he does. Is important.
Yes, he does.
And I will say this. Out of every hire, this is the best hire Jim Buss has fucking made since Phil left.
And I will give you that. Yeah, yes.
This one, at least you feel like, okay, this one
there's
at least
some promise here.
Thought out.
There's some promise that's right. going like, on
okay,
here.
You got a fire deal. Okay, now I have, okay, if it doesn't work, it's not like, well, why the hell did you hire him? You're like, you know what? You tried.
This was a nice hire.
Yeah, he's got the buzz.
My only question is, did you do your full due diligence? Did you interview Mark Jackson? Did you talk?
No, it sounded like he was a first and only interview. They interviewed him. They liked him, man. And, of course, there's always the cherry on top that is this going to pave the way for Phil Jackson to
If it does, Phil going to have to recognize nigga ain't running no triangle.
No, Phil has to be the GM and do he. Phil has to know his.
Know your role.
Yes,
as The Rock would say, know your role and shut your mouth.
You're the GM. You help me get talent on this team. Whatever goes on with how this team is being run, that's my job.
Exactly.
For Laker fans, this is one of them. This is a move that you're like, okay.
I mean, it makes sense.
I can see it. You know, trajectory is pointing up. You know, they needed to, you know, look, I don't think Byron is a terrible coach. I just think he was a bad choice to coach a young team.
Mm-hmm.
He's coaching from the aspect of, you know, he's a veteran guy who was on the Lakers when the Lakers franchise was basically at its heyday.
And it was being run by Pat Riley.
Right. And he takes from the Pat Riley, which is all fine, but. This is a whole new. This is not the Lakers where it's like, hey, look at our banners. Yep. Come here.
Yep.
Nope.
It's different now.
Yeah. Shit. Byron Scott gonna get a job in like the next 5 years.
So I wish Luke Walton the best of luck though. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be good.
This is how you parlay. This is how you parlay that coaching. Look, he's not bringing the full system here. Because people like, there's no Steph Curry. He ain't bringing Steph. He ain't bringing Klay. He ain't bringing Draymond.
He could bring Harrison Barnes, though.
Mm.
He could. Hey, they got. All I'm saying is I'm just connecting the dots. They got a hole at the three.
Yeah.
Harrison Barnes is a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got cap room.
Yeah.
Pay the nigga. It ain't rocket science. I'm sorry.
They could.
It ain't rocket science. Now you got Barnes, you got Clarkson, you got D'Angelo Russell, you got Julius Randle. Go get you a decent center. I'm not saying you got to, you know, similar to like New York did, and they got like Robin Lopez. You ain't got to go out and get the best freaking center on the market. They going to try to get freaking DeMarcus Cousins again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say yeah. If the Lakers can get Hassan Whiteside and Harrison Barnes, are you kidding? To go along what they got now,
and the draft pick, then that has some promise.
You got a lot of good things going for you now as a free agent. I'm really intrigued. Yeah, if now, I'm a max superstar free agent,
yeah, it may take
it
a
looks
minute.
Very enticing,
just because you need to see how it's going to play. Like, it's really, really, it comes down to the top.
Mm-hmm.
This move, you're like, okay, I'm intrigued a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't trust everybody that is above Luke.
Nope.
And that's the problem.
Any of them.
That's the problem.
But, I mean, Luke Walton, he's going to have to come in, and those players, I mean, look, it from what it sounded like, they didn't respect Byron Russell.
If I'm Luke, Byron, but plus, I don't, Byron, Byron Scott, he didn't have that.
That cachet.
He didn't have that connection.
That rapport with
you
the
can't, you know,
because
the same thing with David Blatt. You can't be like, oh, look what I did over here. So you're going to respect me. I'm like, nigga, that don't mean, but you coaching here now. So what are you doing right now here that's going to earn me my respect? You ain't got I got rings. Like, oh, wearing a suit, you got some rings? Oh, you mean wearing number 4, you got rings. Okay.
Hey.
Like, when I see that, when I see your ring, does it have any date that begins with 2000? No, it doesn't. So
if I'm Lou Walton, I'll be like, yeah, I got a few of those.
Right.
But Lou Walton, I got another one on the bench.
Yeah.
Kiss my rings, bitch.
Yeah, but you know he's got, you know, Luke Walton will get time. He's going, I know he signed for 5 years. He's going to at least get 3 of those.
He should get give him the 5 years, man.
He's going to get some time.
And the fact that he is a former Laker and the fans do really like him. Mm-hmm. He was a good dude. I think that's going to go a long way of helping him as well and give him a little more leeway because I think the fans will be a little bit more patient with him.
Because it'll feel like you finally are starting to build this young team. So we're like, okay, now we can see what's going on.
Well, you brought somebody back who it seemed like, you know, from that Phil Jackson era. Of course.
And the biggest distraction is gone.
Yeah. Yeah, that helps as well.
Yeah, that does too. All right, y'all. We're going to head to our break. We're going to come back, hop into this NFL draft.
Oh, boy.
See who came out on top and some questionable moves. Y'all, listen to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour. Holla.
Lemon Sports Happy Hour with my daddy and Uncle Jonathan.
What's your favorite sports team?
Lakers!
We know Jonathan loves that.
All right, y'all. Let's get into it. About the Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Yes, sir.
Love to hear your thoughts on these NBA playoffs moving into the second round. How you like each series? Did your team get knocked out? What the Rockets going to do? Is anybody safe besides James Harden? Is James Harden safe? James Harden. Is the damn GM safe? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Daryl Morey looking hot right now.
Laker fans, what you think? Luke is here. What y'all think? Hit us up. Twitter, at Brothers Layman. Email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Voicemail, 323-455-4219. And always on the website, blackheadsonline.com.
Let us know.
Holla! Oh, yeah. So, yeah, this weekend was also for NFL lovers.
Mm-hmm. Just sit down and just as soon as I get off work, going home, kicking off my shoes, and I'm watching a draft.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you were like me and on vacation, you just sit back.
Oh, yeah, this folk, I know Jonathan is not alone. I'm not one of them people.
I love the draft.
He's, you know, who are like dead. I'm watching all of it.
Because I want to see who my team gets.
Yeah.
I want to know who the new addition to my team is going to be. I mean, and the funny thing is, and the one thing I do love about the draft is because leading up to the draft, you have all these freaking mock drafts and everything. And they always seem to name like the highest, basically the top prospects who are pretty much, I guess, you know, the flashier players who everybody knows in the sport. And then you get to the actual draft, and even in the first round, sometimes you got dudes you were like, I don't even know who the hell that is. Exactly. Mm-hmm. The draft is all about picking people who you feel can fit your system, can fill your team needs and what your team can do and help you out later on in the future. Love what my team did.
All right, we're gonna
talk loved about that.
It. So the big thing going into, you know, Thursday.
Yep.
First day was who's it going to be? You taking Jared Goff of Cal or Carson Wentz, North Dakota State? And they were like, let's go with the hometown dude.
Thank you very much. I called it.
Jared Goff.
He played against the better competition. Mm-hmm. As I said on the last episode, you know, he doesn't have the biggest frame. He's not as built as Carson Wentz, but he has a good arm. Again, he wasn't really, I mean, who was he playing with at Cal?
Right.
I mean, honestly. And I mean, you just look at the level of competition. You need a guy who can come in kind of right away, considering, you know, they got Nick Foles and Case Keenum as their quarterbacks. Jared Goff could easily win this job. Yeah. And start the season.
Talking about he's got good pocket presence.
He's got good pocket awareness and things of that nature. You got a beast in Todd Gurley behind him, so you're not putting everything on his shoulders. You know,
they're not going to push him in. No. But if he ends up beating out, if he ends up winning the starting job, then fine.
Yeah.
But pick. So obviously that meant Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz.
Funny thing was, I had tweeted before the draft. I thought they were going to go in possibly a different direction. I was like, maybe they'll pick Jalen Ramsey. But no. Nah, it was like, no, nah, we're taking the quarterback.
Trading that high up, and you better take the quarterback.
I'm just saying. Seeing, so I'm like, you better hit.
Especially since Sam Bradford still pissing. Man, stop acting like a baby. God damn.
He need to grow up, man.
What you done? What have you done? How many playoff wins do you have?
And you're at this point, and you're not returning your coach's phone calls and text messages, all that. Grow the fuck up, man. You know what? Fine. You know what's going to end up happening? You know what's really going to end up happening? Your punk ass is going to be on the bench because you missed so much time to learn the playbook. And then you're going to lose out to either Carson Wentz or Chase Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're still going to be in Philly, pissed off, sitting on the bench riding pine. So it would behoove you to get your monkey ass into camp. Learn the playbook. I mean, because it's a new coach, Doug Peterson, so it's a new coach, new playbook, new coordinators, which means competition is open.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't no guarantee.
Yeah, you ain't knocking out the park. This is what you are.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You ain't been healthy, and last year you wasn't lighting it up.
And what kind of annoys me is I'm like, where was this reaction when they signed Chase Daniels?
Mm-hmm.
That was like the first free agent they signed was a quarterback, and they gave him like almost starterish type money. So where were you bitching then?
Yeah, look, I get
the hell out of here.
Yeah, I get the fact that you're like, I'm here to win, and you see the team give away potential draft picks to, you know, okay, I don't have a problem with you being upset about it. Any quarterback in your position is going to be upset about it. Yes. We ain't going to be like, well, I'm not coming in there. I'm like, well, nigga, you know what? We just paid your ass. So you better come in.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know what you want to do? Keep your job. How about that? I mean, look, when best example to me when San Diego got
Phillip Rivers,
yeah,
with Drew Brees,
and Drew Brees wasn't like, oh well, Drew Brees balled out still, and they were like, you know what, we gonna go with Phillip Rivers.
Well, he ended up getting hurt too a little bit.
Right, he became a free agent, went to New Orleans. And just killed.
Yep.
Now, you know, Sam Bradford, look, play fine. You know what? You just say, you know what? Fine. Philly, okay, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to play for my next contract.
And that's all you got to do. And you're young enough to the point where you could get another contract.
You know what you need to do? Make them have to make a choice.
But now teams are going to see this and they're not going to want to deal with this crap. I don't want a prima donna in my quarterback. I don't need that.
Right. And you better come in and ball. Because they're not expecting Carson Wentz to start or do anything.
They're not expecting him to play this year or maybe even next year.
So if he makes it in,
stupid.
That means you done fucked up.
Exactly. Dummy.
Yeah. And then moving on, San Diego, we talking about, decided to go with
Joey Bosa.
Joey Bosa.
That was a shock. That was a surprise. I was like, what?
Because everybody pretty much expected them to take Jalen Ramsey because they needed help at the defensive backfield. They lost Eric Weddle. But I guess they feel they need another pass rusher.
Yeah.
You know, it's that everybody want to mimic everybody. They saw Denver just had the pass rushers galore, and they're like, you can't have never have enough of them.
No, you need it. So. You got to have. I mean, if you can't – and this, when it was all about the quarterback – if you can't rush the pass, then, you know.
Especially in that division, because that division probably has, if you want to just talk about as a collective unit, probably the best set of quarterbacks in the league. I mean, you look at, because you got Phillip Rivers, you got Derek Carr, you got Alex Smith, and then you got, I guess, Mark Sanchez or Paxton Lynch or whoever.
Oh, let's see. But, yeah, but I could argue with the AFC North, where you got.
You got Andy Dalton.
You got Flacco.
You got RG3. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking of Cleveland. I was like, who Cleveland? Well, that's Cleveland. But I'm like, yeah, that's not
that
bad.
That is true.
No, but, you know, hey, he's arguably one of the top two prospects in his position in that class. And, you know, guys go for what they need sometimes.
Yep.
Which then was like, who is Dallas taking? And it's hard. Look, it's Dallas.
Yeah, we got to make a splash. Mm-hmm. We got to make a splash. So they, of course, went with Ezekiel Elliott to get that trio back again. Mm-hmm. Now you got Romo, him, and Dez Bryant, similar to the Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman. That's what they're hoping.
Right.
I like Ezekiel Elliott. I thought he was the best running back in the draft. I have never been of the mindset, don't draft, you know, running backs in the first round or whatever. If the dude that good, take him.
Yeah, and he can catch out the backfield.
And he can pass block.
Yeah, and it's hard because you got – now, if they had not, I understand it because, like, you got the line. You got Alfred Morris.
Again, I thought they would have taken Jalen Ramsey because they need help in the defensive backfield with their defense. But considering the last time they were good was when DeMarco Murray was pounding that rock.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a really good running back behind there to – kind of alleviate the defense being on the field so much.
Yeah.
So I think that's their mind frame and thinking. And, you know, he's going to leapfrog Darren McFadden probably pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. He's probably going to be third.
Look, fantasy draftees, don't rush it, all right?
Nigga, Elliott, top five.
I'm taking him first. Like,
nigga, do that.
Yeah, go, exactly.
I'm thinking about taking Elliott first. You know what?
I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
I might do that too. Shit, take that money. And then with that, I mean, I was like, Florida State just.
Yes! Yes! Oh, yeah!
No, Jacksonville was high five, and they were like, get that pick out there right now.
Yeah. That was almost like the Raiders with what's the name?
With who?
Mr. Two, you know, all pro in two positions. He fell to them almost the exact same way. Khalil Mack.
Oh, Khalil Mack?
Because Khalil Mack was like, Khalil Mack can go one.
And he fell to fifth, too.
You were like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Hey, I mean.
That worked out perfect for them. He's right in their backyard.
Everybody was like, trade up. It's like, nah, they like, hell nah.
Nope. We got him. We taking Jalen Ramsey, who, I mean, personally to me, I thought was the best prospect in the draft. Mm-hmm. I liked him out of Florida State. I mean, people talk about his stats, but I'm like, the reason his stats are so low because nobody was throwing to him. Because he's a beast like that. Mm-hmm. He's shutting down one half of the field.
Yeah, so, they've built. Jacksonville is trying to build
something. They're building something in there. So I like what they're doing. And then out of the top five, you got some notables here. You had Ronnie Stanley, tackle out of Notre Dame, who went six to Baltimore.
Who took somebody shout else?
Storm. Yeah, shout out to Storm. Y'all got your left tackle, but should have been Laramie Tunsil. Yeah. But I'm sure everybody's probably seen it by now, like 15 minutes before the draft freaking starts, this video populates of him
smoking a weed, bong,
smoking a bong in a gas mask. I don't know.
They love how they never seen it. He was in the smoking something. I'm like,
what do you think he was smoking?
He's smoking crack.
Yeah.
cracking this one. This some new shit.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know how he made that contraption. I'm not sure. I heard they just kind of make those things, I guess.
Yeah, somebody was like, you know, trying to keep it in. You know, hey, it's college.
Exactly, it's
college. Trying to figure out a way to keep it so nobody smell it. I'm creative.
Exactly. I give him an A for creativity.
But it was, I think, where was it? Oh, I was at my son's track practice, and one of the fathers was like, they were talking about it. And I was like, y'all, and he was like, yeah, I got it on video. And I was like, watching it. And I was like, no, nigga, don't do it. Oh, you pulled the
yep, face pulled it off. It was like, ah, it was good.
And I was like, damn, nigga. I was like, why? And that's like, why? I don't blame him for getting out in the subsequent shit. I blame him for doing that shit on tape.
Yep.
Like, nigga, why are you? And this is what I never look. If you're one of these, well, I'll put it this way. If you come into college being like a top 50 player, where it's just like basically whatever you was doing in high school, everybody's like basically you going pro. Mm-hmm. If you one of them dudes, keep your motherfucking nose clean. Don't yep. do nothing.
Yep.
Because back in my day when I was, you know, it was all about, nigga, don't get caught taking a picture.
Yep.
With something. People was like, hey, like, let me put this down. let me put this beer down. Don't be taking my picture.
Yep.
I don't know who going to see this shit now.
Everything got cameras
and
on
that
it.
Shit.
Everything got cameras on it.
Mm-hmm. We seen D'Angelo Russell where it's like, look like you using the phone for something and you taping.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God, you stupid. And then come out like it's his stepdad.
Yeah, I mean, I must say, and I'm going to apologize to the kid, because initially I was getting on him. I was like, he's such a fucking moron, and who would post this on their site of blah, blah, yeah, blah. I was like, he can't be that fucking stupid.
I was like, there's no way he that dumb.
He can't be that stupid. And then come to find out, I guess, yeah, I backstory. Real,
sound
I
like
mean,
stepdad was
long
the
story
taping.
Short. I don't know if his stepdad was taping it or what, but it sounds like they're suspecting, like, I guess, one of his financial advisors mm-hmm. of leaking it.
Because
I guess it's a financial advisor. He kind of, I don't know if he fired him or what before he went pro.
Mm.
And then niggas like, all right, I got something for you. But also, I mean, after hearing more about what's been going on, I, in a sense, felt for him too a little bit. I mean,
this shit ain't fire. They're like, it's fighting. That shit is not 5 years old. That shit about.
Yeah, when he was like, he said he's a few years old. I was like, okay, it might be a few years old. Only because I could see it being, you know, a couple years maybe.
Maybe. That shit could be a couple months old.
Yeah,
it.
But, you know, whatever. I'm not going to question
you
that.
You wasn't in high school, nigga.
But finding out that, I guess, he was going through some domestic violence issue, and come to find out it's with his stepdad, because his stepdad, I guess, was supposedly about to do something to his mom, or about to hit his mom, or do something to his mom. And as a young man, I ain't gonna let nobody just step up to my mom like that. I don't care who you are.
Right.
So I can't knock him for getting, you know, stepping up and trying to protect his mom. And then not even 15 minutes later after that, another thing gets released that shows text messages between him and the coach, pretty much talking about him trying to get some money. But then when you actually read the messages, you're like, he's asking for money to try to pay an actual fucking light bill. Like,
yeah.
He's trying to pay a light bill for his mom, because I guess his mom can't afford it or whatever the case may be. Then the coach is asking him, like, you know, because I guess he says it's like $300. And then the coach is, it sounds like he's been paying it.
Oh.
Reading the text messages and reading how it's worded and everything,
like
it sounds like the school or the coach or whoever has been paying it for a while. And then he said, it, you know, it's like $300. And he was kind of like, there was some message in that text where he was like, you got to let me know when the price goes up or some shit like that. So it sounds like he's been doing this for him. Okay. But I guess there was like electricity and like utilities involved
or something.
Yeah. I mean, he literally was trying to pay like a bill. It wasn't like I'm gonna spend this money to get some clothes or, you know, new shoes or some shit.
This is why you feel like the argument of, you know, they can't work.
And this is why you kind of feel like they should be getting something. Yeah. I mean, you see where some of these kids come from where, like, goddamn, their own parents can't even afford to do anything.
But they can't get no money. You can't get a job. Like, what am I
supposed to do?
Yeah, and he failed a 13th.
And I will give it to him. Which, he owned it.
He did.
He owned it. They asked him about the messages. He was like, yeah, I took money. Yeah, mm-hmm. I did. He owned it.
Yeah,
and in all honesty, it kind of came and went.
Yeah, well, because at this point, nothing can't happen. I mean, look, he got the weed thing came out. That was in college. It did hurt him. And as far as the school thing, they're like, well,
we invest in the game, the school
$300, yeah. It's just really like, all right, well, that's all the impact. And I think his press conference, which I think he missed initially, for he was sick or whatever, he was kind of like, that's all in the past now. Like, yeah, that was college. I'm here to talk about my program.
And in all honesty, that might open the door and get the conversation started for getting these kids a mm-hmm. stipend or something, some kind of compensation. But again, I'm not going to relieve this kid of his ignorance of taping himself with that fucking gas mask on. That was fucking retarded. No, excuse me. That was stupid. My wife always tells me, don't use the word retarded. That was stupid. Very idiotic. And I have no idea what you were thinking.
You weren't. You was high.
Clearly, you weren't. Yeah, you were high, nigga. Because I'm like, you're doing something that's illegal. Mm-hmm. I don't believe weed is. Well, I don't know where you were doing it, but I'm assuming you were doing it in Mississippi. I don't think weed is legal in Mississippi. Well, from what I know, you know, they tough when it comes to weed stuff down there.
It ain't legal. Believe
that's what I'm saying. So again, you're doing something illegal. I don't understand why these kids love taping themselves doing something that is against the law.
Yeah,
you do realize police can check your social media and they do that shit now.
Jobs do that.
They check your social media page so they can see all that stuff. So it would behoove y'all, if you're going to do something stupid, just don't tape it. Mm-hmm. Don't tape it.
Keep it to yourself.
Period.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need a picture. I was there.
Got a mental note about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so right out of the top 10, Ronnie Stanley, offensive for Notre Dame, went to Baltimore. Steb, he's still solid. Mm-hmm. Frisco picked up DeForest Buckner.
DeForest Buckner.
Out of Oregon.
I like him.
Tennessee, straight number pick, got Jack Conklin, tackle out of Michigan State.
I like this kid, too. I hear he's kind of just a plug-in-and-play type dude. Mm. Plug him in from day one, and he let him go.
Leonard Floyd. Out of Georgia, yeah. Offensive linebacker to Chicago.
Ooh. I mean, just because he's big, he's like 6'6", but he is lanky. Mm-hmm. He's like 235. He's lanky. So I don't know. I'm curious. I think they kind of see him like an Alden Smith type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
And then to top it off, top 10, Eli Apple out of Ohio State, cornerback.
Shout out to Eli.
Giants. Yep.
Shout out to Eli. I guess most people call it a little bit of a reach, but I like his size, and I think that's what Giants were intrigued by. He's a little over 6 feet, got some speed to him and stuff, so not a bad pick.
Okay. I know there was other big names out there. Hey, man, Wilson ain't got to be feeling great recruitment for Ohio State. 3 in the top 10.
Absolutely. They did a good job. Hey, shout out to Teddy D, 35th of Kentucky. So your boy Sheldon Rankins got picked 12 by New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Nice defensive tackle out of Louisville. Shout out. Then you had Laramie Tunsil go 13th to the Dolphins. And then you had who's this kid? Carl Joseph. Shout out to your Baylor. Your Raiders got you.
Hey, man.
Got your safety.
Like he a nice, who does it remind him of? Bob Sanders or something like that. I was like, okay. Raiders is building.
The Raiders are building something nice there. I like what they're doing. I like the pieces that they're adding. Let's see who else we got here. Corey Coleman the Browns need receivers, so that was like, yeah, I understood that one. Shout out to Indy who picked Ryan Kelly with their first pick. God knows they need offensive line help. Got them a center now. They can plug him in from day one.
He's supposed to be the best center.
Yeah, he's the best center in the draft. Yeah. You can plug him in from day one. Just let him go. So they needed help with that. Thank God. Let's see here. I mean, you had a string of running or wide receivers go. You had Houston take Will Fuller, who's a speed guy, which I guess is a good compliment for DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins more of a possession receiver. Washington took Josh Doctson, nice receiver, another speed guy to TCU. Only question with them is I'm like, you took him in the first round, so who you cutting?
Yeah.
Is Pierre Garçon gone? You cutting Sean Jackson? Somebody's going. So we'll just see what happens with that. Vikings, I love they pick. They got Laquan Treadwell, who, I mean, leading up to the draft, most people consider him the best receiver coming out of college and throughout the college season. So that was a nice pick for them.
So y'all squad traded up.
Traded up a couple spots. Got Paxton Lynch.
Everybody heard. Isn't that who Cowboys is salty?
They didn't Jerry trade Jones up. Pissed. He said he's kicking himself for not trading up to get Paxton Lynch. So, I mean, look, we needed a quarterback. I didn't really – me, I kind of favored Dak Prescott a little bit more, who ironically is who Dallas ended up picking later on in the draft. I kind of favored Dak Prescott a little bit more. I liked his makeup a little bit more. I thought he played against better competition. But on the other end, you know, I mean, who am I to question John Elway, one of the greatest quarterbacks that ever played a game? When he picks a quarterback, I can't really say that's a bad pick.
Right.
I mean, you would know more than anybody else. So, but I like his intangibles. The funny thing is like, it's like down to like the hand size and everything. He is like Brock Osweiler 2.0.
Damn.
Like he's 6'7". They about the same weight, same hand size. We'll see. I mean, I'm sure he's going to sit there. They've made it sound like he's going to compete, which I'm sure he's going to, but I don't expect him to start the season.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him starting on later on in the season if he, you know, gets up to speed pretty quick, but I expect Mark Sanchez to start off the season.
Yeah, I saw Arizona took a nice gamble.
Took Robert and Kimdiche.
Yeah. Who got busted earlier this year for weed.
His best buddy is Laramie Tunsil. It just shows you.
If he was somehow figured out, well, I'm not getting put on the table. Although he did get busted.
Yeah. So I'm like, that goes to show you whoever the people you kick it around. But I like Kimdiche. I think he went to a good spot with a good coach. I think Bruce Arians is going to get the most out of him. They need pass rushers. So I thought that was a really good pick for them.
Let's see. We keep going down.
So and then just some notables, I guess.
Miles Jack.
First of all, you had the Cowboys taking Jalen Smith,
who
a lot of people thought might fall out of the draft completely.
Mm.
But leading into the draft was considered pretty much a top five lock before he got hurt.
Okay.
He's expected to sit out this whole season. But if he can be the player that people thought he was going to be next year, Dallas got a hell of a pick.
Yeah.
A hell of a steal with that pick. Then, of course, you got the L.A. native, Miles Jack. Like what Jacksonville's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he was listed like it was neck and neck between him and Jalen Smith, but both of them had injury questions. Otherwise, both of them would probably have been top five, top ten picks at the least. So, again, good value for them. I liked him. He played running back and linebacker for UCLA, so the kid is athletic as hell. You know, I want to give a shout out to our cousin's cousin, Sterling Shepard, who got drafted. Shout out to our cousin Lauren.
Derrick Henry.
I mean,
went to Tennessee Titans.
Derrick Henry going to the Titans. Titans going to run that ball.
Mm-hmm.
They got them a good offensive lineman in the first round. Now you get you a running back to pound it in the second round, to team up with DeMarco Murray, who you traded for in the offseason. I give them kudos. They're really trying to put weapons around Marcus Mariota to alleviate a lot of pressure off of him. He got sacked a lot last year.
He did.
So, good for them. They're doing some good things, making things happen. Buffalo got Reggie Ragland, who I liked. I liked that pick.
You see, Jets drafted Christian Hackenberg, quarterback of Penn State.
That raises questions of what they're going to do with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I've heard him come out. It was come out. Sources said
he would rather not play football than play for the Jets at their current offer, which is about $7-8 million.
Nigga, I would play for the Jets right now. It's $7 million. I play for y'all at two.
Yeah, you just. Well, my like, look, just take a 1 year deal then. Just be like, you know what? Y'all ain't giving me the value I want. Although I know I understand guys want long term deal. Just get you something.
Well,
look, you're in a great place. You need another year under your belt with those same kind of numbers to at least have other teams willing to give you more of what you want.
Well, the other thing that's working against Ryan Fitzpatrick is his age. He's like 34 years old. I'm not paying big time starter money to a quarterback who's that old.
No.
I mean, granted, he didn't really start his career till later on, you know, later in probably to like 28 or something like that. But still, I don't you're old. You're in NFL years, you're old, dude. And now that they pay Christian Hackenberg, you have no leverage now because now we got a quarterback for the future. And to add to him, you have Bryce Petty, too, that they picked last year. The GM has already come out and said, if camp starts today, Geno Smith, our starter. Dude, you're going to have to, unfortunately, similar to Sam Bradford, you're going to have to bite your tongue and just deal.
Yeah.
And just take, I mean, nigga, $8 million ain't nothing to sneeze at. Just take your $8 million.
Yeah, just
I mean,
be like, well, that's fine. Whatever you paying me, I want it all guaranteed.
Goddamn.
Yeah. Just take it. Be like, fine, I'm 8.1 and all of that money guaranteed, period.
Dude, I'm like, Denver wasn't paying Brock Osweiler $16 million a year. And he's way younger than you.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes you think you just going to hit 18? Right. Get out of here,
trying
dude.
Trying to hold him hostage. I'm like, had a good season.
You had leverage. You had leverage before the draft. Now the draft's over. Your leverage gone because they got a quarterback now.
Yeah. And they're not going to overpay.
Nope. So you got to figure that out.
Being the quarterbacks, Braxton Miller, who now is a wide receiver from Ohio State. He went to the Texans.
I like that move. Around. Could possibly be a slot guy for them. I will give them credit. They're putting weapons around Brock Osweiler.
They are.
So, I mean, for Brock, you ain't got many excuses, my friend.
Cleveland picked up Cody Kessler, quarterback of SC.
A lot of people were scratching their heads with that one. Cody Kessler wasn't expected to go to like the sixth or seventh round, if not be undrafted.
Damn.
Honestly. I mean, just because he's small.
Right.
He ain't got an arm. I mean, he's very accurate. I will give him that. He's very accurate as a quarterback. But again, being in Cleveland, when those cold winters, you're going to need to have a quarterback who can throw the ball down the field. And he's not that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, a lot of people, I mean, and not all, you know, analysts are correct when it comes to certain players. But most analysts project him to be a backup at best.
Yes,
that was his projection. Yeah. And you don't use a third round pick on a backup quarterback.
No.
You don't. So, I mean.
On a potential starter.
Exactly, on a potential starter. So, and they've come out and said he could possibly start this year. So,
damn.
It is what it is.
I saw Connor Cook. Raiders got him.
What kind of. What surprised me is I was kind of like, wait a minute. I'm like, Cleveland, y'all had somebody in your backyard. You had.
Who was that?
Cardale Jones.
Yeah, he got hit with Buffalo, I think, late in the, end of the fourth round.
I'm like, you could have took Cardale Jones, Cleveland, and developed. Oh, my God.
And
you
the
know
funny
what?
Thing is, they picked right before Buffalo in that round. They could have picked him in the.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that to me was just a head-scratching move. I mean, besides that, overall, a lot of the teams did, most teams did pretty decent when it comes to the draft overall.
All right, what do you give, what's your squad? What you give, at least for the draft?
I mean, based off the draft, who they took, I'll give them a B.
Okay.
I mean, they pretty much solidified all their needs. I know in the second round they drafted this, I forget his name, he's defensive tackle from Georgia Tech. Basically similar build to Malik Jackson, 6'5", like almost 300 pounds, so they're pretty much looking to him. He's from Australia, so he's only played in like American football for, I think he said, like 6 years or so. So he's still growing. He's still learning, but they think the potential's there. They got him a boy, Devontae Booker, in the fourth round. Well, I love that pick. Running back from Utah to give us a nice little change of pace for C.J. Anderson. They got their quarterback, which they solidified. We need the safety help. They got two safeties. One of them, Justin Simmons or something like that, who a lot of analysts have been raving about, so I guess he's a good player. They addressed their offensive line. They picked McGovern from Missouri and shout out to Daryl. Shout out to Mizzou in the fifth round. And they surprised me. The one thing they did, they picked a fullback, which I was like, interesting. Because I guess Gary Kubiak's offense needs a fullback for it to really run. He was like, we didn't have one last year, so we need one. Their last pick was a punter, which was kind of an eyebrow raiser because we got a decent one, but it's kind of like, well.
It's always depth.
You may be gone, bro. Oh, no, you don't never carry two punters. Nope. You carry a kicker and a punter, and that's it. So damn. The fact that they drafted a punter,
it may feel
like the punter, you make it too much. I mean, he is scheduled to make like $4 million, so we can get a cheaper option. That's football.
None of this. You got to stand to that cap.
Yep. So.
All right, man. Yeah. Other news, NFL, the Raiders owner Mark Davis wants to move to Las Vegas.
I'm nervous about that.
Willing to put up $500 million toward a new stadium.
I'm nervous about that. Only because it's Vegas.
Yeah.
And even Brandon Marshall came out and was like, you don't need NFL players in Vegas like that.
Yeah.
That's dangerous. Y'all already getting enough trouble in states that –
yeah.
That are not Vegas.
Maybe it'll be a different type of like with Denver with the Mile High and all. They can be like, yeah, let's go out and party. Take an L. Raiders win 16-0. How the hell that happened?
Distractions.
We're giving them free coupons.
We send them to the strip club every night.
And then we sneak out the door at like 10.
Like, all right, we get our rest.
All right, yeah, let's get out of here.
That's funny.
Yeah, it sounded like it was a good meeting. He sound like they okay. The NFL is okay with it at this point.
Yeah,
I think if it becomes more serious, maybe
we'll talk about it more.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
And Bears signed Brian Hoyer. Sounded like as a backup. Entre Roe got released by him.
Well, I mean, once the draft's over, everybody gonna start cutting guys.
Yep.
Clear up that cap room so you can sign your rookies and use some dudes you drafted their replacements already.
No.
And you just like, fuck it.
Yep.
We ain't going to beat around the bush.
Yeah. Over to MLB quickly. Marlins second baseman, former Dodger D. Gordon, suspended 80 games for a positive PED test. Tried for testosterone and close to bowl.
From what I read and from what people have been saying, this is interesting. Is that he didn't use it necessarily for strength. He used it to gain weight. Because they basically said he's like 144 pounds.
Damn.
Yeah, he's really, really small. So and most dudes know, like, dude, you ain't going to hold up over 162 games at 144 pounds. So I guess they said he used it to bulk up to like 177 okay. or something like that. He was trying to really gain weight, and I guess he has a hard time holding on weight to his body. I mean, I still don't condone what he did using the PEDs
If it's on the list.
If it's on the list, it's on the list. And it sucks.
It's up to your training staff to find
a way.
Another option.
Yeah, to get that weight on you, bro. I mean, I get he was trying to use it for the right reasons. But, again, you can't do it. Can't do it.
There was a dude, I think a couple weeks ago, rookie Daniel Stump. He got suspended. I think it's like the third person.
I think Bartolo Colon got suspended, too.
Again?
Yes.
God damn.
If memory serves me correctly, I believe Bartolo Colon was suspended.
Yeah, folks is getting popped.
Yep.
That's why the deal in play. And then ESPN is having a little exodus. Mike Tirico's leaving
for
NBC Sports.
Dude.
Everybody's favorite, Skip Bayless. He's supposed to be going to Fox Sports 1.
Yep, he's going to Fox. They announced it on the first take.
Between 5 and 6 mil a year. Like, 5 to 6 million to do that?
I don't know what he's doing. What is he doing?
He's got to probably be running this. Probably have the same kind of show. And I'm sure he'll probably get some journalist work as well. Yeah. But he's clearly a draw.
Yeah.
I mean, food. And look,
People love to hate Skip.
Yeah.
They love to hate Skip.
Folk who can get people that pissed off.
Because Skip says stuff sometimes that'll get you worked.
Yeah, I've seen some like, at the game. My concern, like Tony Parker had a bad game. I'm like, nigga had 12 assists. And I'm like, everybody else balling. Why does he need the ball? Like, everybody else balling. He took 3 shots. So what?
But that's probably what he was. That's what he was paid to do.
That's what he does. Yeah,
what he was paid to do.
That let you know they got a.
But Mike Tirico leaving that made me sad, man. Monday Night Football.
He's good, man.
Who are they gonna replace?
Yeah, he would do ABC the basketball games. Because
they had a good rapport, him and John Gruden, man. Mm-hmm. God damn, that sucks, man. Yeah. Hate to see that.
Which means he'll probably be, of course, now that the Olympics is close, he'll probably be doing some Olympic work.
Yeah. But shout out to Mike Tirico. I like Mike Tirico.
Mm-hmm.
He does a really good job.
And then I've seen even Brad Nessler. He's leaving for CBS Sports.
Damn.
Eventually replacing Vern Lundquist. Lead play-by-play on the SEC telecast.
Vern Lundquist leaving? Dang.
Yeah, I guess he eventually gone.
I guess he's retiring.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going on with ESPN / Disney and all that, but a lot of
it
people
could be, you
just
know,
leaving.
Back in the day, it was, you know, they were the only thing. At this point now, you've got, you know,
you
Fox Sports is big,
outlets.
A lot of other spots, so it's not just and the only, and they willing to pay.
Yeah, I was going to say, it could be that money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think ESPN is paying Skip $5 to $6 million.
No. So. No, and you know, maybe something's going on in Bristol, and the vibe may just not be
ESPN. You know, if you're looking for an infuse of talent, holler at your boys.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Yeah. All right, let's get to it. Five minutes with Grandpa.
All right,
what you about to vent on today?
All right, man. So, shout out to Carol from earlier. I'm about to vent on something I know about. but this whole Laramie Tunsil situation really had me just really thinking, you really got to be smart about who you surround yourself with. I mean, people are shady. Mm-hmm. People are shady. I mean, finding that, you know, seeing here that it's coming out that I guess his former financial advisor is the one who's supposedly leaked the video of him. You're just like, really? Mm-hmm. His financial advisor? Number one, I'm like, how the hell did he get a hold of those videos? But again, these are dudes who you're with all the time. They know probably everything about you. I'm sure they can figure out a way to go through your records or whatever the case may be. You got to be smart, people. Especially, as Chris said, if you are these young dudes who you know and it's like, yes, you going to the pros. We know you're going to the league. You've got to be smart. You have got to surround yourself with people who are going to keep you on the straight and narrow and who are not going to let you do anything stupid. Johnny Manziel is a prime example. He surrounded himself with a bunch of yes men, a bunch of dudes who wanted to party, and all that did was get him kicked out of the league after a year. He lasted a year.
Or two.
He barely lasted the second year because he went to rehab after his rookie season. I don't even count last year because he didn't really even do anything. So, I mean, okay, he lasted 2 years in the league. It's you got to surround yourself with good quality people. I mean, to me, that is just what it boils down to. And for this kid, Laramie Tunsil, I feel really bad for him in this relationship that he has with his stepfather. I don't know what happened to his biological father, if they separated, if his mom's widowed from that or what. I have no idea. But to sit here and find out that they had this domestic violence issue going on and then come to find out his stepdad is now trying to sue him, I guess for emotional distress or some bullshit or whatever the case may be over that domestic violence issue, coming out basically like not even like a week before the draft with this. Well, you're like, dude, clearly this is a money grab. Mm-hmm. Anybody who sees this knows this is a fucking money grab. You're a despicable human being. I mean, seriously, you know this young man is I mean, clearly, and based off the texts we've seen with him and his coach, he's trying to help his mom. Because clearly his mom can't make ends meet to an extent. So I'm sure a portion of his signing bonus or whatever money he makes is going to go to helping his mom, paying her bills, getting her put up to speed. And here your punk ass come trying to sue him for some money that, honestly, he lost quite a bit of because somebody did some shady shit to him.
Yeah, end up, and that's why you got to be careful. It ended up costing him, they said, $7
million.
I mean,
ended up costing you and publicly embarrassing you. Mm-hmm. Dude, we had to sit, I mean, honestly, it got to a point it was really uncomfortable watching him at the draft with this whole video out. And you're just sitting here, and I will give it to him. He tried to hold his composure, and, you know, it didn't seem like he was trying to make too much eye connection with the cameras and stuff like
especially
that.
Especially if you find yourself, like, you're in the room. And they're like, everybody talking about this video you got.
And stupid-ass Roger Goodell, I'll get to him in a minute, but, I mean, just looking at this kid in the green room, and you can only imagine, you know, some of the things people were whispering behind his back, you know, but, you know, kudos to his family, you know, for standing by his side and sticking there and sticking it out with him. And like I tweeted out, I found it very, very fucked up that Lael Collins was questioned by the police for something he had no involvement in. Police even came out and said he's not a suspect. We're just talking to him. and that caused him to fall completely out the draft. This motherfucker has a video released of him smoking weed out of a gas mask, and he drops a 13th pick in the draft. I was like, what? Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm not correlating in my brain, but that didn't make any sense to me. I'm like, here you have a kid who, granted, the video shouldn't have come out.
Yeah, that was not smart.
That was not. It wasn't. He is one of the few. I'll give a pass. When he said it was hacked, I believe him. Mm-hmm. When he says his account and shit was hacked, I believe that. Because nobody is dumb enough to post videos of themselves doing something that stupid when they're about to make millions of dollars and potentially be the number one pick.
Right.
It just didn't make sense.
He would have probably put it out when it first happened.
Yeah.
When he first did it, then like 3 years ago, if you were like, all right, it came out 3 years ago, but not right the day of.
So I believe him when he said it was hacked. So, but that does not dismiss the idiocy of him having himself videotaped doing something like that. But at that moment, I felt bad for this kid, Laramie Tunsil. I felt even worse for Lael Collins because I was like, what the? If I was Lael Collins, I'd be like, this is bullshit because I was supposed to be a first round pick and because I got talked to by the police. And they even came out and said I wasn't involved, yet I still fell out the draft. Bullshit.
Yeah, like bullshit. Nobody want to take me. Like, bullshit. Fine. If it causes me to make miss the first round, all right. But like,
and then Dallas signs him. Now he's a fucking Pro Bowl guard. Stupid. Bullshit. I mean, it really pissed me off. But let it be a lesson to all of you out there. Be careful who you surround yourself with. If you are going to be in a situation like that where you are nationally known by all, make sure you surround yourself with your true friends. And when I say your true friends, your people who are really going to look out for you, good, bad, or otherwise. They're going to tell you when you're doing something stupid. They're not just going to go along with it for the ride. They're going to be like, yo, dog, you smoking weed with this gas mask on? Okay, let's put the cameras down. We're not going to record any of this. We're not going to put this on camera.
You're just not paying the fucking attention.
Your friends are going to do smart things by you and may help you make smart decisions and help you to enhance yourself because a smart friend knows, if I'm taking care of you and I'm helping you out and putting you in the right direction and supporting you and putting you in the proper direction you should go to increase your value and make more money for yourself, what do you think you're going to do for me since I'm your boy? You're going to hook me up.
A lot of people who play that role to them guys.
And it's like
I was here. I need to be compensated. It's fucked up.
But at the same time, if you're a true friend and if you're somebody who really has looked out for your homeboy, you don't have to ask for it because you know he's going to take care of you
right.
in the end. And that's what I mean. You got to surround yourself with your true homeboys, your true friends who are really going to look out for your best interests, not their best interests.
Nope.
So it's all because in the end, it's your career on the line, not theirs.
Yeah.
So that's all I got for the 5 minutes. Hope you people are smarter about, you know, who you keep around in your circles.
Please put yourself in the best situations so you don't let these GMs and owners say this about you.
I have doubts.
Because that's what happened.
I don't want that. That's
what happened. And he dropped.
And he probably went to Baltimore. Baltimore's a better organization.
Yep.
If I was him, I probably would have preferred going to Baltimore.
Yep.
Even though Miami's nice, because it's Miami.
You can get into a lot more trouble in
Baltimore
Miami,
got a solid organization.
And they have a good foundation. Miami, it's a new head coach. You got some knuckleheads in that locker room, too. So, we'll see.
Yep.
See if he can keep his head on straight.
All right. Get into these.
All right. Let's go.
As usual, first off, start with the Noice Award.
Noice.
All right, I actually have just one this time.
Okay.
My Noice Award is going to Keegan-Michael Key. You know, they got that movie out. Don't know if I'm going to see it or not, but I still love them dudes. Yeah, they funny as hell. Keegan went on NFL Live, of course, around the time to promote the movie. He went on NFL Live and did his character, Hingle McCringleberry.
Yeah, with Trey Wingo.
Oh, my God. It was hilarious. The best.
I think I'm going to tweet it out.
I don't like that dude. Even if he was on my team, I still wouldn't like his ass. And then the best thing when he's playing the ring, I mean, he's sitting in a chair, all that. When they were in the like, beginning, oh,
he's,
oh, you got,
he's
got,
like, why am I yelling? I don't know.
He's like, oh, just got word. Cleveland has moved up to the number one pick. They drafted him. Like, and he got quiet as hell.
He like, was like, where's the exit?
Can't go to Cleveland. Can't go to Cleveland. Oh, it was great. It was hilarious.
Yeah. I did two and a half pumps, then a pause. Yeah.
Then a pump. And he said some word again. He uses these weird ass words that I ain't never heard before. He said some word. He's like, I learned that in college. You're just like, God damn it. It was great. Yeah, yeah, it was funny.
Oh, so yeah, that was it. I was like, okay.
All right, for sure. I just got two.
All right.
My first one, President Obama. There ain't never gonna be a president like this again. He is just so cool, man.
Nope.
He is so cool. Like, the first black president is the coolest president ever. This fool at his final White House correspondence dinner ended his speech the Kobe Breen Bryant way. He said, I just got two words for y'all. Obama out. And dropped the mic, yeah, nigga.
And picked up a mic and dropped it. I was like, the what?
This is why. This
like, he going out and trying to have some fun.
I'm just saying.
He's like, fuck it, I'm done. Like, I'm going out my way.
And this and again, it's stunts like these that are making me just look at these next candidates. Teddy, I might need another intervention, dude. I don't know if I can vote for any of these people. I saw some clip yesterday. Shout out to my World Star Hip Hop, and it was like Hillary Clinton playing the woman card, and it just showed like it was like 3 minutes of just clips of her pulling that W card. Well, I'm a woman president. Well, I am a woman president. Well, you know, as running as a woman president, it's like, God damn. So, I mean, shout out to Obama, because I'm like, I'm going to miss this. I'm going to miss this, because this ain't going to be here when this next presidential candidate arrives. No,
we're going forward.
Whoever it's going
to be. Yeah, I want to watch the whole thing, but I saw that part, and I was like, everybody was talking about it, and I'm just like, oh, sorry, you know, it's playoffs on. I can't.
Shout out to Mr. President.
No doubt.
And then last but not least, I had to give a shout out to your Spurs. Yeah. I found it very funny. First of all, I was watching the game yesterday, and they showed one clip with LaMarcus Aldridge, and they asked him basically on his relationship with Kawhi Leonard, and he was basically like, I don't really know much about him outside of basketball. And it was one of the things. Like, it was – And he's smirking because he's like, you know, that's my boy, but he don't talk.
Right.
He don't say shit. Like, he was like, oh, he was like, we're, you know, he was like, it's not like we kick it, you know, outside all the time, but he was like, you know, we go to team dinners and stuff. And he was like, it's always all basketball. He was like, I don't really know much about him. And it was just one of the things like, that just goes to show you. Even his own freaking... And he was like, and I'm his teammate.
Right.
Even his own freaking teammates don't know nothing about this dude. Like, he quiet Leonard for real. Because Jesus Christ.
Yeah, even Duncan was like, he quiet and all that. You know, I'm sure there's probably some couple guys who he's probably cool with. That he
probably his up a boys.
That he listens to up a little more. Opens up a little more, too. But, I mean, you know, if you just want to keep a professional and get along.
If Tim Duncan call you quiet as hell. Jesus Christ. And then last one from the same game, I thought it was very funny. I think it was Marv Albert who said he went up to R.C. Buford and congratulated him. And R.C. Buford's response was, for what? He was like, oh, congratulating you on winning the first round. He was like, we ain't done nothing. I'm like, that Lakers, take a page out of that. That just shows you how the organization works from the top down. I'm like, the GM's even like, what the hell are you congratulating us for?
Yeah.
It ain't like we got a ring. Like, that is the mentality a team is supposed to have from the top down. And honestly, who is the Spurs owner?
Peter Holt. Don't know much.
Thank you very much. That's all I got to say. He keeps his ass in the background. The only time you see that man is championship time. When they presenting them rings and they come out to present that trophy. And he's there. Like, hey.
Yep.
That is what an organization is supposed to do. Your GM does his job. He he talks to the coach, coordinates who he wants to pick, blah, blah, blah. Answers up to the owner. Owner says, yes, do this, that, you know, whatever. The Spurs are run like a goddamn well-tuned oil machine. Like
they pretty just, much they, run. They're the best run organization in sports right now.
I believe.
I don't know how that will happen in the next 10, 20 years.
You can talk about the Patriots all you want, but it's the Spurs, man. Mm-hmm. It's the Spurs.
And funny thing is, the Lakers shouldn't know about that because they had a nice little run of themselves where it was like.
They were the best run organization for some time.
It's about banners. Like, you won in your division. Yeah, we ain't celebrating that shit.
Exactly. Like. So I was like, kudos to the Spurs. When I heard that, I was like, that speaks volumes. When even your GM is like, the fuck? Congratulations for what?
Right.
But yeah, that's all I got. All
right. Speaking that real.
Yeah.
All right. Give me Chappelle.
What? What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No. 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 Fuck that.
All right. What you got?
All right, got a few. That was very fitting, actually, because shout out to you, Baylor. Your former number one bust, fat ass Jamarcus, came out and said he's willing to play for free to get a chance to play in the league again. Whatever it is, I can be a water boy and work my way into a scouting team. It doesn't matter. I'll go play for free. Let me tell you something, Jamarcus. You had, what, maybe about 60 million odd reasons to play that you really just said, I don't give a shit, and in a sense, sabotaged the Raiders organization for a few years and put them back. Nigga, you don't deserve to play. I don't even care if it is for free. You don't deserve that right. You were the number one pick. Had the audacity to hold out when you didn't even do anything. And mind you, this is back when first round picks was getting like signing bonuses bigger than the damn superstars in the league. I mean, you were a quarter. If you were a number one pick quarterback in like 2000, you getting like 40 million guaranteed. And he got like 50.
He ruined it.
And he got like 50 and came in out of shape all the time. He was inaccurate horribly. He and Ryan Leaf are the two worst quarterbacks I have ever seen. Ever seen. And I'm talking about some of these weak ass quarterbacks. Ryan Lindley, all these dudes, y'all weaker than them. I don't care. Y'all weaker than them. Y'all weaker than check down, who was my boy from Tennessee? Check down Charlie Whitehurst. He better than both of y'all. Like, y'all are two of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen. Jamarcus Russell. Jake Locker is better than y'all. Like, Vince Young is better than y'all. Like, y'all are garbage. RG3 is light years better than Jamarcus Russell.
Akili Smith
is way better than y'all. I mean, we can just keep going down the list. I mean, it's ridiculous. I can go back to, who's my boy? Played at Florida. Won the Heisman.
Oh, who's the analyst now?
Warfel. Danny Warfel is better than y'all. Come on, man. Like, y'all were two of the worst. And Jamarcus Russell, you just.
Yeah, now.
Now, because you're broke probably. Mm-hmm. Spending all that money on Scissorp. Mm-hmm. You need to cut that out. Get out of here, dude. You need to get out of here. Quincy Carter, it was better than y'all.
Damn.
Exactly. That's all
I'm
I got.
Broke, nigga, I'm broke.
Oh, man. But yeah, I heard that and was like,
yeah,
what? I'm surprised like, Baylor didn't go in on that one. I was like, Baylor's probably like, it ain't worth my time.
No.
This one was weird. Again, with these scouts asking these players these weird questions and making weird analysis about them. According to Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, an anonymous scout said he was worried about Eli Apple because the 20-year-old supposedly had, quote, no life skills at all, end quote. And on what basis did the scout say that? He can't cook. So the fact that this fool isn't good in the kitchen, he ain't got no life skills. Are you this is the type of stuff that annoys people. And shout out to his mama, because I guess his mama came out and it was his mama Annie Apple came out and said, "We don't respond to anonymous people and things. They're not real to us. What's real is this amazing dream our son is living right now. Hashtag go Bucks." And then she said, "By the way, Eli's dad is a retired 5-star chef. We eat well. So stop playing with our name. Next time you say our name, put some respect on it." And quoted the Birdman. I mean, just saying, like, and then what did Eli Apple say after his mama said that? "Enough said." That's all he tweeted. He was like, tweeted out, "Enough said. My mama said it all. Glad to know somebody appreciates my cooking." Shout out to mama for backing up her son.
Mama went in and was like, "Shut your mouth.
Damn! Put some respect on my name." Oh, they was, I love it. I love it. So shout out to Eli Apple and his mom. And shame on that. I hate anonymous. That's what annoys me. Put your name out there and tell who said it.
Yeah,
he can't cook.
He act like this nigga 30.
So he has no life skills. Lived on his own
for like 8 years.
He has no life skills because he can't cook. Do you know
how many motherfuckers come out of college?
I can't cook like that.
Yeah.
But I have life skills, nigga. Fuck. And then this one, this just hurt my heart as a Broncos fan. Ed McCaffrey, his son, is a fucking traitor. His son, Max, who went to Duke. Everybody thought, hey, he went undrafted. He wasn't drafted. And everybody thought, ah, he coming to Denver. He going to play where his daddy played.
Who he play about now?
This motherfucker went to the Raiders.
Damn.
So.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, and I guess his dad, Ed McCaffrey, tweeted out this little video, and it says, it shows like, a half deflated like Bronco balloon like floating out the window. But in the caption it says, "When your best friend signs with the Raiders," and his dad tweeted out, "Or your son." And it was just like, "Son, I love you, but why?" It was like, of all the teams, why the Raiders, dude?
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
You could have went to the freaking Chiefs or the Chargers, dude, but not the Raiders.
I was about to say he went to the Chiefs.
Not the Raiders, dude. That's the one team. If you a Bronco, I'm still a little ticked. Jack Del Rio's punk ass went there. But look, it's just a rivalry. Raiders and Broncos don't get along. Except for me and Baylor. That's it.
Yep.
But that hurt my heart, man. That hurt my heart. Because I was like, God damn it, man. You a McCaffrey, dude. Well, hopefully his brother, when he come out of Stanford, can join the Broncos and we'll be good. Be back on track.
Yeah, well,
he getting drafted.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's all I got.
All right. I actually got two and one more. All right. So let me start off by making up because I forgot. I said, let me write it down, and I did not write it down. So, Spirit from your last week. This is what Jimmy Butler said about Fred Hoiberg back in December. "I believe in the guys in this locker room, yeah. But I also believe that we probably have to be coached a lot harder at times. I'm sorry. I know Fred's a laid-back guy, and I really respect him for that. But when guys aren't doing what they're supposed to, you've got to get on guys, myself included. You got to do what you're supposed to do when you're out there playing basketball. We weren't doing what we were supposed to be doing, what we wrote up on that board before the game, and nobody spoke up about it. I did probably not enough times, but I think that he has to hold everyone accountable. From the number one player all the way down to however many guys we got, you got to hold everybody accountable. Everybody has to do their job. You win your matchup, do your job, we win the game." On Twitter, they showed a comment from Hoiberg. He's quoted as, we got off to a pretty solid start. Then some things happened. Most of that comes from the one comment after the New York game by Jimmy." And I was like, oh.
You don't do that. You just don't throw your player under the
bus. Yeah, it's like, and do roll in there either. This is a universal sentiment in the Bulls locker room, and everyone agrees that this was the thing that torpedoed the team season, or there's something going on between Hoiberg and Butler. And I was like, what? Yes. Freddie Hoiberg should not have said that at all.
At all.
There's probably other reasons.
I don't know what you're thinking.
No, yeah, I could say your decision to not start Joakim Noah.
Yeah.
Could have set
the
it off.
The beginning of the season. Yes. Exactly. Like, I can name a few things that put your season in shambles, but
yeah. I will say this, that though.
Was dumb.
I told you, like we said last week, he's probably got another year to get it right.
Fix this out. Yep.
And this team is probably going to get changed and all that. I hope, because I like Jimmy Butler on the Bulls.
Don't trade Jimmy.
But I do think Jimmy Butler, like him, from what we've heard all season, he started to feel himself
a little bit.
And kind of being like, you know, this is one of them things where he has to learn too. As a leader, you don't need to say that about your coach to the media. You can go in the locker room and say, dude, I need you to step up more. Or what probably Joakim Noah would do would be like, I would go to the player and tell you, you ain't step your shit up.
Mm-hmm.
You hold guys accountable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like, well, it's up to the coach to do it. It's you do it.
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, Fred Hoiberg ain't playing.
Yep.
You playing. So this is part of growing as a leader, I guess, both as a player and head coach for both of them. You know, own what you got. Don't put the blame.
This was his first season as kind of, quote unquote, the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a learning process.
He's learning.
It's a learning process.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, with that organization, with the GM and all that, I don't know. But I don't. You trade Jimmy Butler. You basically starting to fuck over.
Yeah, and they don't need to be trading Jimmy Butler.
No.
He's too good for that.
So shout out to your spirit. My two are Broncos fans starting a petition to bring back Tim Tebow.
Are you serious?
Yep. It's honest. And guess how many signatures they got?
5.
You know, like less than 3,500.
Of course it is.
I thought I was like, bring back.
Because, man, look, Broncos fans, we like Tim Tebow. And, again, I will always.
As a person.
Love him as a person. And I will always appreciate what Tim Tebow did.
And
as
a leader.
He made us relevant again.
Yes.
I will give him that credit. But as a quarterback, he is
going to make
horrible.
Demaryius Thomas a Pro Bowl wide receiver.
Like, I know people shitting on Mark Sanchez. He way better than Tim Tebow. He's a way better option than Tim Tebow. I'm sorry.
As far as throwing the ball.
Yes.
Yes. I'm not talking intangibles. I'm not talking follow the leader type thing. We talk about, I need you 5-step drop, throw the ball.
Again.
Yes.
As I have said many times, we played a game where Tim Tebow threw the ball a total of 3 times in the game. In the game. That shows you how much faith the coaching staff had in his throwing ability. Nigga threw it 3 times in a game. 3.
That's terrible.
3. I think that's the lowest total ever in an NFL game. 3 passes. So, no. Tim Tebow is a great guy. Great dude. But there is no way in hell I would take him back as a starting quarterback. Ever. Ever. John Elway trading him for Peyton Manning with a best decision he ever made. My God. Broncos fans have gone crazy.
Yeah, that was funny.
They panicking.
Always a few.
They panicking, boy.
Just slow down.
We need a quarterback. Tim Tebow is available, ain't he? The fuck?
And my last one is, I had to look this up. I was hoping to get the actual score, but basically, in the first round matchup between the Rockets and the Warriors, since Steph Curry got hurt, which I believe was game 2. I
think so.
The Rockets got outscored by 60.
So, it does not make sense.
So basically, they didn't need Steph Curry. He could have rested this whole series.
I heard that. And I heard that, like, they showed the number where it was like they scored. And then I was like, wait a minute. They put up. They put up in 3 games. You got outscored by 60 points. Without the MVP on the team. Now, everybody can say, well, maybe he don't deserve MVP and all that.
It's the regular season. Yes, he does.
Oh, you mean the nigga that make 400 threes?
402. To be exact.
Fine. You have the reigning MVP who got better.
Yep.
and it's not playing. And you're like, okay, what are we going to do? Nothing.
Stinky.
Not
up.
Give a fuck. Like, what the? God. 60 points.
You're killing me, Smalls.
You know, yeah, bomb that shit. Break it up.
Worst defensive team in the league by far.
Come on.
I mean, my God.
Look, you, I still don't get it. Dwight Howard, Trevor Ariza, Patrick Beverly, three of your starters, your ass on defense. How is that possible? I mean, hey, Jamie Bickerstaff looked like he was just like, I don't get it. He, after that game five, he just was like, I don't know. And I felt him. I do feel bad for dude. Because it was basically like, it seemed like it really didn't matter what he did. It was like, niggas just did not want to be there. We don't want to play.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm like, Utah, you should have beat the Clippers when they were when they rested everybody. Then we wouldn't go through this and we could be clowning James Harden and what's his name? What do we call him? Windex Man.
Oh, White Howard?
White Howard got some D. He just. Dwight.
Dwight from The Office?
Dwight H word. He got no O. Heron and H word.
Oh my Break God. Break him up.
I don't know. That was just embarrassing.
Call him White H word. No D and no O. Oh, that's great.
But I want some money.
Right, I want max dollars. Oh my God.
Okay. So that's all I got.
Yeah.
I want to make sure we're trying going forward because we always leave you a joint for the end of the show. At least try to announce them beforehand. So for me, for this week, I'll be leaving y'all with, and I know we'll be going back and forth between Jonathan and I will leave y'all with Gangstar next time off the Moment of Truth album.
Mm.
You know, a little music in between shorts. We can get back to the sports.
Yeah.
Last week, it was Prince.
It was Prince.
I got to play some Prince. He deserved to have a nice chunk of music
in between. Of course
he
did. Absolutely.
So, no doubt.
No question.
So, yes, thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. Brought to you by the Black Is Network. Make sure you are checking us out on the website, blackisonline.com. You can find us on the Black Is Network on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud. Leave us a 5-star review. Let us know how we're doing. We appreciate those. If y'all want to get at us, want to talk any sports with us, or just leave your thoughts on the show, you can reach out to us via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com, on Twitter, @brotherslayman, via voicemail, 323-455-4219, and like I said, website, blackisonline.com.
And shout out, I literally just pulled up Twitter. Shout out to all you, I guess, I don't know what you're called, your thronies out there. I guess Game of Thrones started back up today.
Last week.
Oh my fucking God, here we go again. I've never seen one episode. I don't know if I'll get into Game of Thrones.
You better stop.
All I know of the references from South Park, that there's just a shitload of wiener in Game of Thrones.
All I know is
a lot of gay wiener.
My wife. Yeah, my wife's a big Game of Thrones fan, so she's probably watching it right now.
J.R.R. Martin. Oh, my God.
Hey, man, it's a popular show.
No, shout out to everybody who watches it. That's just me. Yeah. I just didn't watch it. But shout out to your Game of Thronies.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, shout out to everybody who checks out the show. Once again, shout out to Miss Carol, who sent the email for the first time. Definitely appreciate that. For all you guys who are out there, again, if you got any opinions, let us know. Let us know whatever your thoughts are, good, bad, indifferent. It doesn't matter. We will take it in stride.
Mm-hmm.
If you enjoyed the show, go ahead and give us a 5-star review, if you so please. If you feel whatever we deserve, 1 to 5, whatever you feel we deserve. For the long-time listeners, definitely want to thank you guys for tuning in for the long haul. For the first-time listeners, definitely want to thank you guys for tuning in for the first time to see what we're about up in here in the happy hour. If you enjoyed the show, go ahead and tell all your homies, all your friends, go ahead and tell your mamas, daddies, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunties, uncles, nieces, nephews. Tell your dogs, cats, chickens, ducks, roosters. As I said, I'm going to just be naming off podcasts as I go. So go ahead and tell 35th Kentuck. Go ahead and tell Straight Outta Low Cash. Tell Unscripted. Black Astronauts.
why not the G-Spot Podcast Network? Go ahead and tell Red Rock. Go ahead. I ain't heard from him in a while. What up, Jeff Is Moody? Go ahead and talk to Jeff. Jeff Is Moody. What up, KJ? Welcome to the village. Shout out to the Hip Hop Digest. Tell everybody about the Brothers Layman, where it goes down. And we have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all. Holla.
Word is born, these cats been on the mic fantasizing a lot. So-called MCs, wannabe rappers and all that, whatever. You get to not rock, kid. Yo, you thought you bought your best lines, but they couldn't touch mine. I rocked you and you're not, hope you have better luck next time. You thought you bought your best lines, but they couldn't touch mine. I rocked you and you're not, hope you have better luck next time. So just perhaps, you want to challenge my style of rap. Talking about you bus cops, we know that's just a pile of crap. The underground is where I dwell at. It's where I find my heaven and where you find your hell at. You're in my clutches now. You get slid up and lit up just like some duchess now. See, I'm hard to define. My mind travels far from ghettos to galaxies representing gangstar. The street life, the reason why my mic ignites. I bring more ruckus than a nightclub fight or bar brawl. I'm swinging lyrics like broken glass, Paul, the scar, y'all. Hold your head, cause all that weak shit is dead. See, the times are changing, and me and my peeps is getting crazy fed. So remember, when you're writing your rhymes, stop fantasizing, and bring some real shit next time. Yeah, bring some real shit, yo. You thought you bought your best lines, but they couldn't touch mine. I rocked you and you're not, hope you have better luck next time. You thought you bought your best lines, but they couldn't touch mine. I rocked you and you're not, hope you have better luck next time. I do what I have to do to master you and capture you until you recognize what my rapture can do. You thought I wouldn't step up to keep my rep up. I ain't them other kids. I don't need to play no catch up. I got too much pride for this. I know some niggas that'll ride for this. With me, it's do or die for this. Street knowledge, intellect, and spirituality. My survival package as I deal with reality. I'm like Fishburne and Hoodlum when I come to do them. Chew them up, spit them out. The most respected, no doubt. You've seen me in action, so act like you've been knowing. The G-U-R-U of the gang, I've been flowing. Just like the River Niger all the way to the Hudson. Had so many lyrics stashed, and I couldn't wait to bust some. Lately, I've watched this game evolve and elevate. So now I push my music like drug dealers push weight. Straight like that, straight out the gate. Cause it's never too late to set this fucking record straight. But it is too late for you and your crew, son. You had the audacity to come against me, the gifted one, and Primo with the tracks to inspire my next line. You got no wins here, so better luck next time. You thought you bought your best lines, but they couldn't touch mine. I rocked you and you're not, hope you have better luck next time. You thought you bought your best lines, but they couldn't touch mine. I rocked you and you're not. Yeah. Better luck next time.